Hi.
Hello, Sue.
Good to see everybody.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Yeah. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Bo-Young. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Lucille, how many are we expecting and what's a quorum?
We already are at quorum. We're expecting 22 of these.
Some noise coming from someone. I hear it's like as if somebody is outside with a microphone and the wind is blowing in it. Do you hear that too, guys?
Yeah.
Not too badly. So maybe
I have a fan on. Let me turn it off and see if that changes it.
I suggest that people who are not talking put themselves on mute so to reduce the background noise.
I turned off my ear.
Did that noise stop?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was my fan. I'm going to just mute it, though, because it's hot here.
I turned off my air conditioning as well. So
yeah, I've got a fan on, too.
Hi, Bo-Young. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Mary. Hi. Nice
hi, Bo-Young.
Nice to see you. Welcome.
Thank you. Back at you.
Hi, Mary.
I gotta get my audio going here.
Howard, Kate had replied that she is coming. Do you know if she is still?
I know she intends to, but she might be busy and have spaced it out. Okay. I'll give her a call.
That would be helpful, particularly because she has some results we need.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. She's ready. For that.
In terms of others who were expected, Debbie Hillman and Jan Frieswick.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm going to call Jan. She called me a minute ago. I'll get her. I'll help her.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Howard Marks, I think, also was going to come. I don't know if Stephen, if you can reach out to him. Do you have a text message?
I'll give him a call.
Oh, Tom, that would be great. I think everybody else who said they would come. Oh, Nick Ignatz is the other one. He wasn't sure he could stay the whole meeting. Maybe he's coming late, but if anybody has a way to reach out to him, that would be good. But I think once we get Mary and Howard back, Howard?
Yeah.
Is Kate gonna come?
She is.
Great.
She's on her way. She said thank you for reminding her.
There's gonna be closer. Okay. Well, we've been there.
Oh. Yeah, we're the only group that's got a dog, that I can tell.
Somebody's talking to their dog, huh? I do want to start. It's 10 after. I think Mary is getting Jan on, and I know Jan is new to Zoom a bit.
Lucille? I'm gonna I'll call Nick Ignatz. I have his number.
That would be great, Sue. Thank you. So I kind of, before we really began officially, I did want to ask if there were some people who have not before. There's Kate. Welcome, Kate. Thanks for joining. If there are people who haven't been on Zoom before, then I would just give a few brief descriptions. So of those who are here, Bill, have you used Zoom before?
Hi, Nick, it's Sue Peters. Hi.
Bill, are you familiar with Zoom?
Me? Lance? Yeah.
Do you need any instruction on how to use Zoom?
Well, we just started our Alliance for Just Media.
You're talking to me.
Annual meeting.
I'm
Lucille asked me to call you because she thought you were going to come.
Okay.
Come to it. It's an online meeting.
Well, I commend you for being here then, and maybe we all speak loudly.
I can step you through it.
Does anybody need instruction, Mike? Or I think everybody else has used. Mike, have you used Zoom before?
Yeah.
Well, hold it.
I'm familiar.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So maybe we don't need so much instruction. Bill, there is a toolbar on the bottom of your screen that if you hover your mouse over it, then you'll see the toolbar. And
okay,
if you click on the chat there, it will open the chat banner on the right side of your screen.
Highlighted in blue.
So, John, you think Bill is familiar with Zoom, and will he be able to hear us?
I think he can probably hear all right. But I'm not in the same place Bill is, so I'm no closer than you are. Cross town.
Okay. Well, I want to welcome you all to this meeting and
thank
you on behalf of the board, and thank you all for being here on a Sunday in the middle of the day. We really appreciate it. And we wanted to have a brief time to begin an opening with Howard singing. And if you want to see Howard in his fullness in the right corner of your screen, there are two ways you can view your screen. One is the overview where you see all of us, and then the other is, or maybe it's the other way around, but the other is where you see one person. And so we just, Howard has a money anthem, started that way, and then I think he performed it up in Madison, Wisconsin, and Mary's Raging Grannies group got a hold of it.
Click on the link.
And put it to a new tune, and it became more of a money song. And so we thought it would be just a great way for us to listen to Howard in this first maybe at the end of the meeting.
No, this one.
There the lyrics on the screen. I did include those in the email. And if people want to sing along, we can attempt that then. But Howard, you want to kick us off?
On the bottom?
Okay. So this Raging Granny version.
Let me see. Hold on a second. Let me go into and do this again. Okay. I clicked, left clicked. Does a box come up that says launch application? No. What comes up? Yeah. Do the download. If it gives you an option to click on download, download it. You have a Windows operating system on your computer? Yes? Okay, good. So there's a little icon that's the File Explorer where you can get to all your files and folders. You want to bring that up. Yeah, there should be an icon somewhere that looks like a little file. It looks like a file folder. It's yellow and it has a little blue line at the bottom that I guess is you're filing it in a metal, metal holder or something. It's called File Explorer, and it has all your folders. If you wanted to copy and paste something into one of your folders, you would bring up File Explorer. And it would show your folders. Oh, let me see. Hold on, I'll check. Let's see. Yes, phone in. Let's see. There's a number for New York and a number for San Jose. Or find your local number. Here, I'm going to find your local number for you. Hold on. Your local number is Chicago. I'm using regions. So use the New York number. 1-646-876-9923. No, just call in. Wait a minute, I'm going to give you a meeting ID. The telephone might ask you for a meeting ID. The meeting ID is 719-187-688. Okay, great. Bye-bye. Yes, it started. It's just beginning right now. Okay, bye. Sure.
Where I live, and I just got back from a Quaker gathering, which I put on a workshop on monetary reform, and I think it was well received. So I'm looking forward to continue the work with you all.
Virginia, you have to unmute.
Hi, I'm Virginia Hammond. I'm in Portland, Oregon. I've been in my family house. We've been here since 1952 in the house, not me. But anyway, the highlights of my last year, I really enjoyed facilitating the board retreat. It's just such a fabulous bunch of people, and it was really a lot of fun. And then I'll be telling you more about my campaign for how we pay at the end of the meeting today. So I look forward to that too.
Bo Young?
My name is Bo Young. I'm in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Lots of highlights. I'll mention two briefly. One is working with a very committed group on the Communications and Website Committee. I'll say a little bit more in my report. And the other is being invited to be on the core team of the International Movement for Monetary Reform, the IMMR. So that's been going well.
Great. Thanks, Bo-Young. Paul?
Hi, I'm Paul LeBeau. I'm here in hot, sweltering, muggy Maryland, Annapolis. And see my path? Oh, by the way, I am secretary on the board, the executive committee. I'm frantically taking notes here as I'm listening. My path to monetary reform was actually I met Elizabeth Kucinich at a vegan festival and started talking about why the world isn't working. And she pointed me in this direction, and then it was Joe, and here I am. So that was my path. But looking forward to hearing what everybody else has to say.
So Bill, if you could share one highlight from this year in your work on monetary reform, and before that, where you are and your name.
Okay.
My name is Bill Sofranik. I'm a disciple of John Howell. With me here today is Dick Hogan, another disciple of John Hall.
Does your friend want to introduce himself?
Sure. If that's an invite for me, that's R.E. Hogan.
Can't hear him, Lucille.
Yeah, it's a little hard to hear your friend, Bill. Yeah.
Hello, Jan.
Yeah.
Shall I try again?
Yeah, that would be great.
Yes, R.E. Hogan, also a member of the Athens Monetary Literacy Group, here with Bill today. Good to see John here, and begin to meet you folks as well on this vital concern. So we're here in the Ohio River Basin bioregion and creating a fast where they don't exist.
Great. Thanks for coming. R.E. Logan, is that right?
Hogan. It's O-G-A-N. Hogan.
Great.
Thank you.
Howard?
Okay, I'm Howard Schweitzer, and I'm in Perry County, Tennessee, overlooking the Buffalo River at the mouth of Hurricane Creek. And I am... we've had a very busy year with monetary reform. I'm excited about it, and I've been getting ready for our Green Party national meeting, preparing materials to take there. And good to see y'all.
Great. Thanks, Howard. Hobart?
My name is Hobart Schuller. I'm in Naperville, Illinois. One of my highlights was this year connecting with Tim DiMuzio and Richard Robbins, who have been writing really good books and articles about monetary reform and problems there. And I love to get people inside our group to you know, help us out think through stuff. And both of them, I hope, will work out with us so we can have a little more academic backing in our legion.
Great.
That's it, yeah.
Mark?
Mark Young, Indianapolis, Indiana. I think, along with Virginia, I think one of the highlights this past year was just being in the strategic planning session. And I'm also looking forward to this first year. Has been a lot of organizing the actual alliance, so I'm looking forward to in this coming year really trying to push my message out and, you know, expanding social media and actually doing the more of the advocacy and education that we've talked about so much.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
Mike Holden. I currently live in Cottage Grove, Minnesota. I recently moved from Detroit. Unfortunately, I've been kind of busy moving and changing jobs and everything in the past years, so I haven't really had a chance to do much work on monetary reform. But in the past, I presented at the American Monetary Institute conference, and the talk was on the effect of government funding on R&D and technological advancement. I do think that is a critical function and obviously a funding mechanism for other social programs and infrastructure. So I fully support the activities of the group and hope to participate in the future.
Barry. You have to all unmute before you talk.
Yep. Did you say my name?
Jerry. But
oh, Jerry.
Mary would be good, too. Go ahead, Mary.
Hello, everybody. Mary Sanderson, Madison, Wisconsin. I just missed the last three. I'm sorry about that. I was trying to help Jan get on. She's having technological issues, and I don't know if she'll make it now or not. The coolest thing I did for money this last year, I think, was I joined the Greens. They are a party that has it as part of their national platform, the NEED Act, you know, and they encourage all their candidates to learn it and use it to talk about how to pay for the programs they want. I don't know, except for I only know the Greens here in our group. I love them. But I'm going to Salem to meet a bunch more Greens next week and see where money is going to go in that group.
Great. Thanks. Stephen?
Stephen, Chicago, Illinois. Two quick things. One is the strategic planning. The second, I'd like us to just to mention for all of us, I got to be at the IMMR meeting that Bo Young referenced. We were in Madrid, and we met with and heard from the governor of Spain's central bank, the equivalent of Ben Bernanke. This governor was a part of things during the crisis, and he said our work is of vital importance of going into the future. Things have to change, and he's trying to critique and work with us in the monetary reform movement. They're much more open in Europe, but it gave everybody encouragement, and he was quite aware. So even insiders in the system want us to push forward, and they're ready to join the rebels, us.
Thank you.
Sue?
Yeah. I'm Sue Peters. I was born and raised in New York City. I'm still here. And this year, I think being a member of the new Banking and Monetary Reform Committee of the Green Party and working on that, this year has been really, really important to me. And also Jerry's parity group, having a parity group to educate myself and others about parity economy has been really important. And the last thing is I got a scholarship from the AMI, and I've been working on it, and it's very intense and go up and down, but I am learning so much, and I encourage everyone to come to the AMI conference the first weekend of October, because I'm going to give a talk about my scholarship, what I learned about debt drives war, and war drives debt. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Sue. There's so many people in this group that I want to grow up to be like, and Sue is one of them. Jason?
Okay. Hi. I'm Jason Bosch. I'm in Denver, Colorado. And can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a filmmaker. I've been interested in monetary reform for probably like 15 years. I first learned about it through complementary currency. I'm currently working on a film taking a critical look at nonprofits and funding and how nonprofits fit into the larger economic system. And I'm also, which we'll watch, I'm working on a video for some videos for Alliance, the Alliance group. You guys.
Yeah.
Us.
Thank you. Jerry. You, Jerry?
Hi. I'm from Orland Park, Illinois. It's about 30 miles southwest of downtown Chicago. And I think I want to grow up to be like some of you guys, too. But I guess the biggest thing that I'm most time-intensive, maybe, that I've been working on is the parity group. So we're hard at work trying to develop a curriculum. That was Stephen's idea. And who knows what we'll get out of that. But we are working hard at it. So
great. Thank you, Jerry. Kate.
Hi, Kate Culver, living temporarily in Nashville, Tennessee. And my work has been very limited, but one of the things I have enjoyed doing is interjecting the idea about money and monetary reform into circles where it is not a part of the conversation. So planting seeds, being little Johnny Appleseed.
Great. Thanks, Kate. Greg Coleridge.
Greetings. Greg Coleridge, Northeast Ohio, Cleveland area, where I live, though I'm right now crossing the state of Pennsylvania, so apologies if I get cut off going through the mountains. Good to be with you. Apologies for not having been a very regular member. My contribution past year has been rather limited. I continue, for what it's worth, to try to publish weekly a monetary history calendar, and my main work is with the group Move to Amend that seeks a constitutional amendment to end corporate constitutional rights and money of speech, and always in my talks around the country point out that among the examples of corporatization or privatization, it's the privatization or corporatization of money creation that is the most lethal to whatever degree of democracy we have ever had and have to end it to have anything approaching a real punch.
Greg, that's definitely crucial, and really glad you were able to be here today. Howard Marks? Are you there, Howard Marks?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hi. Howard Marks in the Chicago area, working for the last several years with AMI and now Alliance for Just Money. Of course, a member of the organizing committee of the Atlanta Just Money, too. And I'm going to pretty much ditto what Steve Walsh and Greg said, too. I'm pretty heavily into monetary reform with respect to the NEED Act, and things that might supplement it or even make it better. And I can't talk right now very much because I'm in route right now, too, so I wish I could talk a little more here, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here, Howard, and hope you can listen as long as you can, even if you can't talk.
Yes.
Joe, can you unmute and introduce and say a highlight from your year?
Okay, thank you, and also turn off my air conditioner, because being on the other side of that, where Paul is on the west side of the Chesapeake, it's just as bloody hot and humid over here as it is anywhere. Thanks. So the thing about everybody, I think most people know that I got to learn monetary reform in a different route, you know, because my dad was drumming it into me for many, many years. And so anybody who I helped along in any way on this subject, I thank my dad for that always. And during the past year, well, you've mentioned a couple of the outside activities that I've also been involved with, which is on the Green Party Banking and Monetary Reform Committee, where Mary and Howard are the co-chairs. How about that? And also on the Parity Economics Group, I've had the pleasure of working with Jerry and Randy Cook. And no, this is a this
no.
is a, a
no.
No?
No, go ahead, Glenn.
Sorry. Oh, sorry. This is a part of our monetary economy that we just are beginning to be able to formulate into the importance that it has to keeping the distribution of wealth along with the creation of wealth. And that's really exciting to me as something that's just completely brand new. But as far as the most exciting thing that happened, the best thing that happened to me during this past year was definitely the Alliance's board retreat, where we all got to be together again for several days of intense love and work. So that's about it. I totally look forward to whatever it is that's coming next. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I think we have Jan on the telephone on a number that ends with 8112. Jan, we're just introducing ourselves, where our hometown is, where we are, if that's not our hometown, and then one highlight from your year in relation to any involvement you had with monetary reform work.
Hi, Janet from Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm in a learning mode with Mary, reading Galinga's book.
Great. And I think some of us may remember meeting Janet at AMI last fall. So really glad you made it on, Jan, or Janet. Which do you You prefer Janet?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Either one.
Did we miss anyone? If I think, is Greg on when two numbers? Or is it 219?
That's fine. This is Nick Ignatz.
Great. Nick, go ahead and introduce yourself and share.
I think I know most of the people, but Nick Ignatz from Munster, Indiana, right outside of Chicago. And I'm glad to be on with everybody here. I'm on the phone because I can't figure out how the Zoom thing works. So. I wish I'd been able to accomplish more in monetary reform in the last year. I'm sure we could all say that. But I have been writing and working on it that way.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thanks, Nick. Thanks for being here. And yes, I think what you said is true for all of us. While we've done a lot, we all wish we had done more.
It's not just even the done more, it's the getting traction is what maybe that's a better term.
Uh-huh.
Not disparaging anybody's effort, that's for sure.
Right. Thank you for that clarification. I agree. So we're a little over our schedule already, and so we're going to move into the first half. We're going to try to keep an hour and 20 minutes and then take a 10-minute break. And so we will try to stick to that, and therefore I'm going to keep my comments as brief as I can, which my assignment as serving this year as president was to share the successes or highlights from this year. Many of those are going to be talked about by the other officers, and so I'm not going to give even the brief summary of what they will say. I will just add, I think, things they may not say. There was a reference to IMMR already. We did become the, I think, 28th member of IMMR last September. That stands for the International Movement for Monetary Reform. And as Stephen said, we sent three people. I mean, we helped them financially. They mostly covered their own way there, but we helped for the IMMR costs of the meeting in Madrid, Spain. And that was the second time we have been involved in sending people. We survived financially. We are in the black. You'll hear that. We also survived because of much contribution of time, labor, and paying for things we needed by members in this founding year. And so that is a huge accomplishment. The one thing that may not be mentioned, we went through a pretty time-consuming, hard back-forth decision around whether we register ourselves as a political 501c4 organization or as a tax-exempt organization, a 501c3. And I won't go into that story, but it was very deliberate, really, beginning in the organizing committee with hangovers from that into the fall, where we successfully amended our bylaws in order to be clearer that we wanted to apply for a 501c3, and then still went back and forth on it. In the end, that is the decision we made, that we would register as a 501c3, tax exempt, donations qualify for writing them off on your taxes, and that when we, not if, but when it is warranted, when we need a more active political arm, we will spin off a 501c4 organization. And so that was the decision we made. The board worked tirelessly this year. It definitely was a founding year. We met 20 times, I think, one of which was at the AMI meeting last fall that included many other members in that meeting. And then I think 19 times this year, about every 2 to 3 weeks. It often was a Friday night. It often was 2 to 3 hours long. That is probably a habit that we do not hope continues, but there was a lot of work to get us off the ground. And I think it's partly because we designed ourselves committed to be a democratic organization, an organization that practices democracy. And any of us who know anything about it know that is laborious. It's sometimes difficult, challenging, hard. But in the end, it ends up with, I think, the best decisions. And if we can learn about relationships and one another in the process, we are the better personally for it. And the decisions and outcomes are better. I think Bo Young has numerous times referenced an African quote or a Korean one, another one, but it kind of goes, if you want to get there fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And we are trying to take us all the way to monetary reform, and we're doing it together. So I think I'll end my comments there, other than to say, for me, the highlight, I didn't say where I was in the highlight, but I'm in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. I live in Bloomington. I work, and currently I'm in my office at the Illinois State University in Normal. And all of this work has been a highlight. But I think the thing that most struck me was related to the retreat that a number of people have said. And I think our standing committees were sort of on the cutting board at that retreat in some ways, or they could have been. It's not what happened. Instead, I think the strategic plan that we came up with really organically fits in relation to the work that the organizing committee, many of the members of which are here, designed the organization to enact. And some of those standing committees got a much better start this year than others. All of them began. But I think the way in which the organic strategic planning work breathed energy into the work that we all understood from decades of doing monetary reform work needed to happen, that was sort of my highlight. And that's not to say that the governance structure, the committee structure, won't change in the future. It could and may. But at this point in time, it was just interesting to see that organically develop at the retreat, and you'll hear more about those details later. So that's the end of my report, and I would move on to the Vice President and Bo Young.
Thanks, Lucille. So I'll just say that it's been a real pleasure and honor to be the Vice President of the Alliance for Just Money this past year. A lot has happened. We started with really nothing, and we grew a group from ground zero. One of the biggest accomplishments was to have an internet presence, and so the development, the content development of a website was one of our main focus points for this past year. So monetaryalliance.org is being launched a couple months ago, and we intentionally created it so that it would be accessible to all sorts of people, especially those who are relatively new to the group. I also want to say that it's very, very exciting for us to be doing what we're doing in the United States / North America. We are part of an international group, and it is a growing group, growing in momentum and awareness, with a 30 country member organization with IMMR. So it's very, very exciting to be doing this in the midst of a much larger international movement. So in terms of the website, I'll just say very briefly, recommend the website to your friends and family. We encourage people to participate, share the blogs, comment on the blogs. If you have feedback, we would welcome your feedback. And Paul LeBeau would be the point person. We are starting to get regular newsletters out, so to inform the broader membership. And if you are interested in working with Hovert as an editor, we would love to hear from you. A special thanks to the CWC committee, the Communications and Website Committee. This group has worked as a core leadership team on the website and communication stuff. So particularly Marie Warner, Colbert Schuler, Virginia Hammond, who all worked on content and editing and writing, as well as Paul LeBeau, who was the co-chair, and Rosin, who was our main IT guy, plus many, many other writers who contributed to the content and research. Many, many thanks to all of you. And the last thing is just a shout out to the Facebook account and Twitter that we have. We'd love for everybody to join and follow. And Mark Young and Jason have been working on a special video clip project to advance this on the social media front. So lots of exciting things happening. We will keep you updated. Thank you.
Thanks, Bo Young. Paul, the secretary's report.
Mm-hmm. So now some of the dry stuff. We're a legitimate 401c3, and according to our bylaws, we have certain things that we must do. So as secretary, I am kind of trying to take care of some of those official things. It's, as some people say, it's been wheels up recently, and we're really taking off. There's been a lot of working out of logistics in terms of who does what, where emails go, and how we store information, and we're finally getting our sea legs, to use another analogy. I do want to point out, say just how lucky we are to have Lucille as our president. I can't begin to say enough about what she's done. In fact, this whole agenda. Anyway, so let's get to the some of the statistics that I need to report. First of all, just an up-to-date report on the number of members we have now. We've only been really soliciting members for, to be honest, maybe a couple of months. We have 32, sorry, level two members. These are memberships that need to be renewed every year. The dues for that is $25 a year. We have six level one members. And the dues for that is a lifetime membership, and it's a one-shot deal for $20. And finally, we have one organizational membership, and that's at level two as well. And the organizational membership is $50 per year. So I think, is there anything else at this point, Lucille, that we want to go through?
No, I think that's good. You'll come back to report the votes. I would just add that all level two members are also level one members. That's how you become a member, is to join, and then in addition, if you choose to be a level two and pay annual dues, then you have voting rights as a member. So, yeah, I was just typing those totals, and I'll put them in the chat. Thank you, Paul. Mark?
Okie dokie. I'm going to be very brief. I think I'm just talking about the financial report, expenses and balances. So I will share a updated financial statement for us. Hopefully everybody can see it. And quickly walk you through all the millions of dollars that we have. So this one is, can everybody see that okay? These are obviously unaudited as of June 30th. So currently, cash on hand in our checking account, we have $453.82. Savings, we have $122.44. We do have still some receivables. I meant to ask Lucille earlier if she had received a check from me, but we had a couple people who pledged money for members. I think myself and Stephen, I think we pledged $100 apiece for members who may not be able to afford the fees. So if you know of anybody who may be having, maybe financially strapped at the time, we do have a fund set up to assist members with those payments. So right now our total assets are about $775 in that area. These are just nothing spectacular. Since January, we've collected $85 in membership fees. We've had electronic transactions. I think it's thanks to Hovard. I believe Hovard is one of the people who actually set up a monthly deposit. So I think we get like $9.41 from Hovard every month. So we appreciate that, Hovard. It helps a lot. We've had member donations of about $1,180 since January. Most of that had went to the IMMR conference. We have a little bit of interest income. We've had administrative costs of about $486. Those are everything from banking fees to attorney's fees for the incorporation documents and stuff like that. We also had a $315 cost for our, we have an Alliance Dropbox that we share so that we can all share the same information in the cloud network. So we had total expenditures since January 1 of about $1,800, which basically leaves us, like I said, with a balance of $776.26 right now. And so we would encourage everyone, if you can afford, I think it's through the Stripe system that we that Hovard sends his money in monthly. Can do that. We're always in need of money. We're trying to come up with various fundraising schemes. It's probably not the best word, but it's an appropriate word, I guess. Some of the things, individuals fund. Paul has taken on his plate to pay for some things, as have I. I work closely with Jason on the production of stuff for our social media campaign when that stuff gets kicked off. So with that, that's about it, Lucille.
For many of us, it probably would be helpful to have this officer's report in the set of minutes, and we can include the financial report in that. Okay, I think we're going to move on unless I would just maybe give a brief moment if anybody has a burning question about any of the officer's reports. If you do, unmute yourself and say your name. Count to five, one.
Mm-hmm. I'll just make a quick comment. In terms of the contributions, I do want to acknowledge that we've had lots of donations in kind. So it may not have been in terms of money, but in terms of people's time, our IT team has put in a lot of additional resources towards the website. The artist who worked on our logo, Jason, who worked on a video project, put in many, many hours of volunteer time. So I just want to acknowledge those contributions, because they're just as important as the monetary parts too.
And for some of those, since we are 501c3, working out letters that maybe, you know, a business can write that work as partly a contribution off on their tax returns, that kind of work can happen. Any other questions or comments on the officer report before we move on to the third item? All right, I'm going to keep us moving because we have a big agenda. So the next third item is Paul is going to announce both the results and certification for the bylaws amendment first, and then we'll move on to the board election with him and Kate.
Yes, so I just want to officially recognize that the amendment that was sent out in a file to all level two members was voted upon. The votes were done via email. Just want to point out, I don't know if people see the agenda, but there's a little typo in the agenda that the votes were sent to reform@monetaryalliance.org. It had monetaryreform.org or something, so that needed to be corrected. So the tally was that we had 12 votes yes, which included 9 board members and 3 additional level 2 members, so it's passed. And so I would certify that the bylaws are as newly amended now. And these amended bylaws will be sent out to all members and posted on a members-only page on the website. Do we need to talk about the election now?
Just one question, Paul. Were there any no votes?
No, there were no. It was all positive. Sorry. Okay. No abstentions and no no's.
Okay. Yeah. So that would leave a good number of board level two members who didn't vote either way, and that you can report in the minutes as well. It was a technical change to deal with just some improvements of the nomination process in particular for new board members. Thank you. Great to know they're approved. And yeah, so now we can move on to the other item of the election process. Do you want to start, Paul, and then?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was time, it's been a year, to re-elect some members of the board, and the board development committee solicited nominations, announced candidates for the board with a statement from each. So all level two members should have received that. The votes were compiled by Kate Culver, and hopefully we'll have the results announced shortly.
You should have them, Paul.
Okay.
You should have them now.
Oh, great, okay. And so again, Kate has compiled and counted the members, and she'll announce that in a bit. And once announced, I will just certify verbally here that these are our new directors for their normal 3-year term. I just want to point out that in terms of the current board members, Lucille has 1 year. Lucille, Mark Young, and Howard Switzer have 1 year left. I, Stephen Walsh, and Sue Peters have 2 years left as members of the board.
So I think, Kate, sounds like Paul is pitching to you to announce the results.
All right. I'll share my screen briefly here. There are no names attached. This will show you that there were 18 votes received. And all of the members were elected. 15 yes votes for Joe, 17 for Virginia, and 18 for John.
Great.
And let me stop the share somehow. Where's my stop share button?
It stopped already, Kate.
Okay, great.
So we have 3 elected board members. For Paul Cummins and Namor, I just would like to say thanks to Kate for being the vote counter again, and to John and Joe and Virginia for stepping up and putting your names out there to be elected to the board again. It's huge and much appreciated. Paul, is there anything else? Well, you need to certify it, and yeah.
That fulfills our requirement to certify the poll in public in front of our members. And just want to point out that the first meeting of the new board will take place between July 31st and August 12th. And that will be scheduled by a doodle poll, so we can come up with an appropriate date.
So, yeah, I would encourage, as Paul said, 3 of us, myself included, will have our first terms ending next year, and then the last 3 of the founding board have 2 more years left. And so all of you are encouraged to think about serving on the board, and at least 3 of you need to, 3 of us need to step up to the plate next year at this time. Any comments or questions on either the amendment vote or the bylaws amendment vote or the election? You can write your name in the chat or unmute and say your name. All right. Well, thank you, and I think we will move on to Howard and premiering the logo, or giving us news about the logo.
May I interrupt
yes.
with a practical thing, Howard, Lucille?
I'm sorry, Howard?
A little practical thing. So when we watch on our screen, we have 2 choices. We have speaker view and we have gallery view. I prefer speaker view, but that is interrupted sometimes when there is noise coming from other people if they have not muted. So, Janet, can you hear me?
Yes.
Is there a possibility you have a mute button on your phone? Because sometimes there is some background noise coming from your phone, I think, and that kind of interferes with the speaker view.
You got it.
I just muted Janet.
Yes.
But it means that Janet has to figure out how to unmute herself, or at a time when we know we need to hear her voice, I unmute her.
Yeah, if people can just mute their phones, that might be better. Just put your phone on mute rather than through Zoom.
Yeah, because Nick Agnes also, sometimes there's some background noise and then he comes in.
If Janet's calling on her phone, she's not going to be able to unmute herself. Just
right.
I think that's correct, Jason.
Let's unmute her.
Well, yeah.
All right, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I prefer...
she'd have to do it from her own phone.
Speaker view. All right, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
So.
Okay. Well, we had a time trying to figure out a logo, and we started out, you know, just throwing around ideas, and Lucille came up with some college kids in a college group that was working on branding logos and things like that. And so they came up with three versions for us, and we all favored one of them pretty much. And but we spent a lot of time messing around with all of those, looking, trying to figure out, find consensus on one of them, which never actually quite happened. So we kept looking, and then Paul's sister, Ellen LeBeau, offered to do some artwork for us, and she did some things, and one of those items kind of caught our attention as a possible logo. And so we've pursued that one, and I will, rather than going through all of the many versions that were offered, I will just show you the one that we finally landed on, which we still don't have complete consensus on, I must say. And I'll share my screen to show it, and maybe if I can find it now. There it is. And so a coin morphing into birds as kind of a metaphor for a transformation of a money system.
Howard, your screen is not being shared.
Oh, it's not. Oh. I wonder why. Let me see here. Okay. How about now?
Coming. Yes.
Is that, is that it? All right. So, like I said, it was kind of a metaphor for a transformation of a money system from one to another, one to a more natural system, perhaps. And but again, we still don't have, I don't know that we have complete consensus on this, and I don't have, I couldn't get Drossen to respond about putting it up on the website for us. But I do have another, I did make a brochure and used the logo on that brochure, thinking that that might, so we could kind of see how it looked being used. It's still fairly large on this brochure. I'm not sure how it would go on the website, so we still have yet to see that that version, to see how it reads on a website and on a phone.
If you're trying to share, honey, we don't see it.
Oh, you don't see it? Let me try that again.
Be on your home screen.
I keep forgetting to hit the, select the share. So here's a brochure that we made and used the logo on it. But again, we don't have it for the website yet to see what it will look like on a website or on a phone, which I think is important, as Drossen has pointed out to us. And so that's where we are, and we would like to hear any input that anybody has about logos and ideas for logos, and whether or not we like this one.
Where do we leave input if we want to make input?
Oh, send it to me if you would.
Okay.
Do you have my email address?
I do.
Okay, good. Because, and then I can share it with the rest of the committee, and we can talk about it.
Sue Stack. I'm so glad you put it up like that. I haven't looked at logos for many months. But I like that one. The only thing he has this bird coming out of the back of his head. If we could not have a bird coming out of the back of his head.
Yeah, you can't dwell on the image too long. So anyway, that's the report from the logo committee.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a process, and I guess we're not quite there yet. But
I have a comment if I can make.
Yeah.
Yes.
As Howard,
your voice is breaking up, Paul.
Oh, is that any better?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Maybe I was had a drop. What's that? Is that okay? Yes, no, maybe.
Keep talking.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I just want to point out that as Howard pointed out, getting consensus on something which is somewhat artistic is very, very, very difficult, especially among this group, because we're all very opinionated people. So we have to take that into account, you know, in whatever design we come up with.
Right. And we're not set, you know, any design we do come up with and start using, you know, it can always change. It just depends on, you know, what we discover works. Okay.
I think we should probably move on. I think it sounds like there's more discussion to be had, and you know, definitely my idea of his logo is that you get pretty certain and then you live with it, because you begin to be seen by it and known by it. But I would like to maybe suggest a slight revision in our agenda. Just we're already at almost quarter after, and I wonder if it would be more effective, and maybe a couple officers, Mark and Bo Young and John, could speak up and answer. Should we maybe take the 10-minute break right now? And then after, our next item is to have the presentation, Mark's presentation on the strategic plan, and then to discuss that, that John will facilitate. And then after that, to hear a bit about this campaign that Virginia is initiating. So would people like to take a 10-minute break now and then move on, or to hear, stick with the agenda as is, and hear Mark's presentation first?
I'm fine either way.
Either way.
Let's go.
Okay, so it sounds like people want to keep going. So yep. Mark, we will do the presentation. No need to rush it, but we'll take a brief break after presentation.
Okay.
Thank you, Howard, sorry you're gone already from your screen, but for the work on the logo. Go ahead, Mark.
Okie dokie. I will not, whoops, oh yeah, there we go. Okay, there's too much stuff in the way here. This down here. What's that showing? Okay, how is it looking? Is it, I need this thing to view right. Is that, are you seeing the entire thing or just the slideshow?
The entire thing.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's not a... Don't know where that is, but... let me see what I can do here. Hold on for a second, please. Let me try something else.
I think if you mirror your display rather than duplicate it?
You're maybe talking over my head, but okay.
Yeah, if you go, are you in Windows?
I am in PowerPoint.
I know, but it's a Windows machine, right?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes.
If you go to the desktop, right-click and click on Display. Under Display, there's an option to either mirror or duplicate. Mirror makes whatever you is on your screen identical on both screens. Duplicate means you have two different screens. So mirror, if you put mirror and then start the slideshow, you'll get the full screen. I don't know if that makes sense, but
I'm going to try to figure out what you're saying.
So under the display settings, you right-click on your desktop, you'll see the display settings. And on there, somewhere on there, you'll see a place that says display settings. And that there'll be two choices. One is to duplicate and one is to mirror, I think, is how it works.
I think his problem is simply he has
you want me to do
slideshow.
Yeah, if you clicked on slideshow. Oh, sorry, I interrupted you. My bad.
You didn't hit from go under slideshow, and then on the far left go to from beginning.
Right. But it's probably playing the slideshow on his other screen. Oh no, it's doing that. Never mind. You're right. You got it.
Got it. Okay, cool. Well, we met for the strategic planning. I'm not gonna rush, but I'm gonna try to at least get us close to back on time, because we'll have time to just discuss it. So. We met April 26th through the 28th in Bloomington, Illinois, wonderful little small town that Lucille lives in. Had a great time. The first thing we did, Virginia was nice enough to act as the moderator and as the facilitator for this. And so first thing we did was we really talked about the Alliance for Just Money. We did somewhat of a SWOT analysis. We didn't necessarily call it that. We had some different names, but we kind of went over the strengths and weaknesses of our organization and all the opportunities and also the threats of it. And so the internal strengths and assets of our organization is that we have a NEED Act on the shelf. Whether or not it's formulated as it is currently, but because we have a NEED Act on the shelf, it gives us a little bit of ability to teach people that these things are possible. It's not just pie in the sky stuff we're talking about, and that a congressman and his staff, along with AMI people, did go through, look at the law, and legally this can be done, which does have weight. It means that it is possible. We're not just saying stuff. Another one of our strengths is we have very diverse connections and networks with AMI, National Education, nothing. Can't remember exactly. Academics, the Green Party, other ones. We have a simple message and a concept, although it's mired in complexity from the economic standpoint. Our message is simple. We have people who are very musical and have a lot of talented that love to be in the theater, love to write songs, which is also an asset. One of the biggest assets and strengths is that youth are ready for a message that they can get behind. And it's been said before that this is one of the biggest things that was missed during the Occupy Wall Street movement was that they didn't really have a message in hand and they didn't have any demands. Well, this is something that when you look at youth and what the youth are screaming about and under today's politics, not just in this country, but, you know, all over the whole world, they're ready for a message they can get behind. And we feel like we have that message that can actually be life-changing and changing for societal movements. We have support of international movement. The International Movement for Monetary Reform, Bo is very involved in it. They consider us that we're one of their better developed organizations over the past year since we've been able to accomplish so much. We have a website, and I'll click to the website at some point in time and also show you the Facebook and Twitter pages, just so you can take a look at them and see that, you know, we are trying to increase our presence and move away from the organizational stuff onto the actual advocacy and education. We have a very good attitude. Love is our foundation. We have passion, goodwill, curiosity, searching for truth. We have various types of people. Some people are very much academic. Some people are speakers. Some people just have a love for mankind, and it shows in our discussions and what people care about. We have a lot of professors, college professors, I didn't realize we had so many until we got to the retreat. So there are a lot of people who are very good at writing, speaking, teaching, communication skills. Lucille often edits everything I write because I don't have any of those. That's not my strong point. So, but we have very good editors. We have a lot of knowledge. People have done a lot of reading. So we know a lot about money systems. We have very good money history, general history. People have done a lot of research. You can see all of Hover's and John's books and Lucille's books in the background. They've read all those things. And that knowledge base also helps us a lot. Our challenges and weaknesses. We have no core funding. We would love to have an executive director and staff, but funding is going to be a struggle. And I imagine this will probably be one of the hardest. It's probably one of those things that we continue to struggle with until we can find a benefactor, some rich guy who can get behind the message and, you know, has a, you know, $500,000 to spare and really believes in what we do. So if you know those people, kind of keep them in the back of your mind and let us talk and figure out ways that we could approach them. We lack common messaging sometimes. We all agree on monetary reform and the benefits of monetary reform, but we do have a disagreement on some basic ideas, especially when it comes to how this system works, which I think anybody who's on our emails and on the group's IO sees a lot of those disagreements, and you know, but it's good to talk about them. So the thing I take out of this is that we need to figure out what we're trying to teach and where we're moving to, but not try to explain the minutia of the current system, because it does get very, very complicated, and we often don't know what we don't know, and it's hard to get through the fog of the current system sometimes. We don't have common talking points. People kind of talk about monetary reform and how they see fit. And so those are things that we'll be working on also. We need elevator speeches for people who are not familiar with monetary reform. How can we get our message out in 60 seconds without, you know, boring people or making their eyes glass over and making them have that aha moment that each of us have had? Need facts with answers. We lack understanding on how our short explanations are understood. I think we understand them, but we're not sure if other people understand. We lack membership and messaging diversity, age and audiences. We're a much older group for the most part. I think Jason might be the youngest person. Jason or Bo might be the youngest person on here. I'm not sure. But the other, we struggle with social media because we didn't grow up in a digital age. And so we're not as adept at tweeting and Facebooking and all this other stuff. Even though Hover's been doing a very good job and catching up. Our academic credibility is weak, and so we'll discuss what we plan on doing about that. And we also have poor media outreach at this time. So these are things that we have to work on. Opportunities. We have a lot of opportunities. We can join with other issue-based movements, existing study groups on various topics. There are, you know, everything from environmental groups to, as Greg was talking about, the Move to Amend group. There are a lot of groups where we share a common theme because we do have the money answer, and a lot of movements need money. Opportunities in social media, diverse, many alternative venues, potential for rapid dissemination. Most things that now come up start on social media. They don't necessarily start with websites anymore. They really do start from social media. You have news organizations that look at things that are trending, and that's what they report about. We have an election year with a financial crisis looming. I don't think anybody wants to see a collapse. But with the, I believe I just seen an article yesterday that talked about how they have to raise the debt ceiling again. Well, all those things are opportunities for us to jump in and say something a little bit different. And so we have to figure out how to use those opportunities better. We learn and grow together, strengthen power together. People want to fund us. Municipal, county, states interested in our solution to their funding problems. Climate change is a hot issue. And we have the answer to how to fund the Green New Deal. And so we have to kind of latch onto those things and really use them in the next year to 18 months to really push the message. We have internal threats and obstacles. We have miscommunication sometimes. Sometimes we use divisive language, ego, self-interest, focus on short term. One of the biggest ones for me is divisive language. And so I'm very careful about labeling bankers as bad or business people or rich people is bad. And so we always have to watch that language and think about it. Confusion about our message, who are generally good partners, a climate of stress and fear, left-right polarity, the power of propaganda against our ideas, the general welfare of the general failure of education, especially regarding money and economics classes, to even teach these type of things. The money interests, meaning the banking interests and the people who actually, the central banks and the banks who actually manage our money system, would obviously have issues with what the solutions we're providing. The power of MMT to kind of distract from our message, even though, you know, they have their own message, it distracts from our message. And it makes it seem as though they're, even though MMT is a solution within this, our current system, it's seen as something much larger than what it is, instead of just increasing the debt. A general fear of change. People don't like change. And we're talking about some of the biggest changes you could possibly make. Time. You know, time is of the essence. Everybody knows that once the egg is broke, you can't put it back together. And so a huge financial collapse that surpassed the one in 2008 could make it very difficult to implement changes because everything is broken. So then we went on to action plan. So what do we want to do in the next 6 to 18 months? We want to hire executive director and social media staff, executive director to carry out the daily activities. And we really think we need a social media staff person. And these are more likely will be a consultant. We've created job descriptions for both. But somebody on social media that can spend, you know, 15 to 20 hours a week just pushing our message, friending people, getting more followers so that our followers are up in the thousands and stuff like that. We had a running joke when we were at the retreat is that the Flat Earth Society on one Facebook page had 56,000 people, you know, and we have like 5. And so that tells you how far we have to go. We want to complete initial communication materials, and all these things are actually underway now. Contacting politicians, establish better roots in academia, create a bigger and better network. Job descriptions have already been created. We want to design fundraising plans mainly around things that we want to do. And so one fundraising plan may be just to get staff and try to talk to you about that. Then there are other things. We want to do social media campaigns. And so those things have to be paid for when you do the direct advertising through social media. You can read some of these. I'm not necessarily going to go through all of these, but I'll just hit on a couple of them. The things that we really want to do is, you know, we want to have these elevator speeches, and we want to, you know, to be active and have talking points. We want to start creating more memes for social media that reflect monetary reform. Memes are a very, very powerful way to get your message out on social media. We want to do social media quizzes to draw people to the website. And so, you know, what do you know about monetary reform? Are you an A or an F student? Short videos for social media. Stuff that Jason is gonna show us a little bit of what he's been working on here in a little bit. We established protocols for approving communication materials so that they all look professional and they all come around the same way. Paul has been working on media blitzes so that we know when a podcast or some online show is talking about money matters, and we need to pull together and listen and comment. And I know Paul gets frustrated with us because we haven't been very good at doing it, but it's one of those things we hope to improve on in the future. The newsletter that Bo mentioned has went out, and we hope to do that pretty regularly. I'm not sure if we're going to try to do it monthly, but I'm not sure if we're quite there yet. And we also want to talk about translating materials into other languages because I think it's very important, as everybody recognizes, to not just speak to English-speaking people. Contact politicians. This is the Legislative Action Committee. So these are kind of grouped into our subcommittees. Try to solicit, and these are, again, over the next 6 to 18 months, solicit sponsors for the Monetary Commission or the NEED Act, successor legislation, design and create general info packets for politicians on monetary reform and the Alliance for Just Money, research the best politicians to target, create talking points for specific audiences and political leans. I think one of the things that we do is that we really hang out on the progressive side of the scale a lot. And we don't really think about how much monetary reform can benefit conservative-minded folk who may be upset with the use of TANF and welfare and taxes and all these other things that monetary reform can have an actual effect on. And so we can grow our interest in our party and our movement by getting, not always focusing on progressives, but actually having talking points that hit the other specific audiences. Establishing the roots in academia is determined the best research questions. Research who and at what institutions are most likely to cooperate. Research and secure sponsorships and prize money for people who may want to do fellowships or if we want to research a certain topic. I know John is collecting, I think Lucille also is collecting information about what is it that we don't know. We've never really studied the effect of a lower taxation and what it means on the economy and what it means to monetary reform. We want to create a scholarship contest and require reading this board. We want to research internships that could offer part-time paid interns to work on the scholarship program or other things that we collect. Creating a bigger and better network. I know Lucille is working on designing a survey for our members to see what other organizations they are affiliated with, to see if there is some overlap where we could use somebody who's a member of one organization to push this message because it makes sense. Write a specific set of talking points for members to work with different organizations. We want welcome packages for new members. We want to create manuals or curriculum for monetary literacy groups and also for chapters when they start popping up. We want to push and get people who can start chapters in their local areas. Since we're scattered across the United States, it would be good for us to actually to have a goal of let's get 6 chapters next year or do something like that. Guidelines and resources for those chapters. Establish youth and campus chapters or connect to existing student groups. So all these things are things that came out of these discussions. So with that, I think that is about it for that one. So did you want to stop now, Lucille? I'll pass it back to you. I still do want to talk a little bit about the social media aspect and let Jason kind of show his wares to a sense.
I would say maybe, Mark, why don't you do both of those right now, and okay. Then we take
them. Okay, let me do this then. Let me, so this right here, I'm gonna share another, so this is our, what is this, the Twitter? Yeah, this is tweets. So this is our Twitter page. You can see, I'm sorry.
Just to say, Mark, make sure you describe what you're showing because the people on the phone can't.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. So right now I'm just showing the Twitter page to show that it is up and running. Fo had mentioned that, you know, if you're not on Twitter, I know it seems like a hassle, but get on there, just create an account, find us, like us, follow us. All these things help. And when you send it out, this is really how this stuff works. There's a lot of diagnostics behind it and how it works. Then on the other one, let's stop sharing on that one. There was one more I wanted to show you if I could find the... I don't know where that one is. See if I can find the... okay, there we go. I think that should do it. Okay, this one is our Facebook page. So I'm showing now is the Facebook page, the Alliance for Just Money Facebook page. We also have a group that looks a little bit different. This is the page here. Hovard, here's the group right here. Hovard pretty much manages all of this. He does a great job. And then we have a group that if you're on Facebook, you can join where there are more discussions going on instead of just posting stuff. So with that, I'm going to stop sharing. And Jason, why don't you go ahead and do your portion? One of the things that we wanted to do was really for social media was create these 90-to-2-minute clips so that I'm sure everybody's aware that the thought today is that young people don't like to read as much, and so how do you give them visually stimulating information in a short time frame? And so I asked Jason to think about creating some short videos, and then through our Twitter and our Facebook accounts, we can actually buy and push out the advertising. So for instance, I could put $200 into pushing out a Facebook video, and literally 50,000 people will see it, and it'll tell you about how much you pay, and how many weeks you run the advertisement, and stuff like that. So with that, go ahead, Jason, and I'll turn it over to you and let you talk about the video stuff.
Okay. So I unmuted my mic. I turned my fan down, but is anybody hearing my the fan. Is it sounding okay? Okay,
good. Fine.
All right. So I started putting together. Mark gave me some notes for kind of an outline, and so this is what I've got here. Is really, really rough. So I put together a video. I'd love to get your feedback, and you can also include my email, so you can, if you want to email me directly or call me, whatever. The video I'm going to show you here is, like I said, it's very rough. It's me just kind of, there's some narration that's not going to be end up in the final. There's images that aren't going to be in the final thing. It's just kind of a rough outline to kind of give you guys an idea of what we're thinking, and then to get some feedback. And also, I'd love to, you know, if anybody's interested in working with me on this.
We can't see your screen yet, Jason. Not sure if you...
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Share my screen. I guess share.
It's a green button in the toolbar at the bottom.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Can you see it?
No.
Then you have to select...
Oh, okay.
Off the page. Yeah,
okay, can you see it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's talk about the mess.
Okay, so hold on, let me bring this over here. Okay, everybody can see it?
We see locks on a fence.
Oh, but you don't see the video?
No, I think when you share your screen, you have to select that item.
Okay, let's see.
You might have to stop sharing and then do it again.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to open it up first.
Oh, okay. I see. I might have opened it after I shared the screen. Okay, hold on. Just 1 second. Just trying to figure out where...
If you scroll on the bottom toolbar, you'll see the share, and you should be able to click.
Yeah, this thing got minimized for some reason, the Zoom guy.
I think I can stop it. Let me try.
No. Stop share at the top.
Yeah, I don't know why, but for some reason the Zoom thing I've got a little window here with no options. I see Howard's face.
You can't stop sharing?
I don't have any options on the screen that I have here.
Put your mouse on the bottom.
He doesn't have the screen.
I don't have it. I see a window with your face, but there's no options popping up. It's just...
You may have to log in again.
That's weird. Hold on. Start Zoom.
He may need to resume.
I don't think that's it. I think he just has to get out of share and then open up the actual video.
Yeah, yeah. Question is, how do you do that? Sorry, you guys. I got the window. I got the window with Lucille's face on here, but there's no options. It's not showing me any options.
If you should have a, when it comes up, you should have a selection of a bunch of different, whatever you have open on your desktop, you should be able to click on, then you have to hit share again.
Chat?
To unshare first.
Yeah.
Maybe you're in full screen and you have to get out of full screen.
Yeah, man. Escape. Let me try that. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to log off and jump back on. Give me 2 seconds.
Okay.
I don't know if we'll get cut off if you're not hearing.
Mary suggested taking a break now, and then you can get back on and fix it.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. I'll figure this out.
I'm not sure what happens to the rest of us.
No, I'm saying just take the break right now, and then
but we can't get out of his shared screen.
Yeah, it's not even letting me do anything. It's like I'm totally stuck. I can't even... delete the Zoom. Quit Zoom. There it is. Okay, quit Zoom.
Yikes.
Like I'm locked in here.
Stop participant sharing.
There it is. I just got the thing back. Okay.
So now you have to open what you want to share.
Okay.
And
Now I'm going to click share screen. Tell me if you guys see.
Make sure you have open what you want to show us.
Okay. Tell me if you see it now.
Yes.
Yeah.
New deal.
Okay.
Yeah, there it is.
All right. Yeah, it's weird. There's windows up that won't leave. Okay, so this is real rough, but I'd love to get feedback. And also, one of the things that is really, really time-consuming on this is going through images. Now, I have an account with Adobe Stock, so I can get stock images. But going through images, either finding stuff that's Creative Commons or stuff that I can purchase. Because some of these images I have, I don't have the rights to, and I'm not going to use. A lot of them are just kind of placeholders, but to give you kind of an idea. So I'll play the video. Holler if you can't hear it. But this is real rough to give you an idea, and then we'll get your feedback.
So let's talk about the merits of a green YouTube. There are a lot of folks who say it is just too expensive. It's so expensive, it's absolutely ridiculous.
But when I read the green YouTube and I try and understand what they're suggesting, I don't understand how you're going to give a job for everybody, free college to everybody, how you're going to create clean energy throughout the country in every building of the land. This thing up with $32 trillion on Medicare for All. That's about $40 trillion plus. You're sitting, ladies and gentlemen, with $22 trillion of debt on the balance sheet of America. It's immoral to suggest that we can tally up $20, $30, $40, $50 trillion of debt. You know, he's right. It is immoral to rack up that kind of debt. But wait a minute. Is it not also immoral to tally up life-threatening ecological deficits on Earth's balance sheet, burden young people with crippling student debt just as they're starting out in life? Americans without access to health care, allow 1% of Americans to accrue more than 90% of the wealth while most struggle just to pay rent. Over the past decade, different groups have proposed creating a Green New Deal. It would provide investments to help communities affected by climate change, repair and upgrade existing infrastructure, invest in renewable power sources, support sustainable agriculture, and build a more equitable food system. Invest in zero emissions transportation systems. Fund ecological restoration projects and land preservation. Clean up existing hazardous waste sites and more. The desired goals of the Green New Deal have popular support, even amongst its opposition. But the question, how are you going to pay for it, continues to arise. What if there was a way to pay for it without increasing taxes or going into debt? As incredible as it may sound, there is. With real monetary reform, we could pay for the Green New Deal and so much more. Visit and follow us at the Alliance for Monetary Reform.
That resolution will not pass the Senate. There's no way to pay for it.
So let's talk about the merits of the Green New Deal.
Sorry, it just started over here. Sorry, hold on. Can you guys hear me? Did everybody hear and see that okay?
Yes.
Okay. So that's real rough, and I'm going to add, you know, obviously we'll be adding to it and taking away from it. This is just kind of a real brief, rough start. So, you know, love to hear you guys' feedback, but the idea is to create short videos and that start with the Green New Deal and how that people keep saying you can't pay for it, and we have an answer to that.
We would also do a series of these videos, so this would just be the first one. The thought is to do, you know, 5 or 10 over the next year, and that's what we use for our social media campaigns. And so while that one is the subject of a Green New Deal, another one may just talk about monetary reform on its own or the international monetary movement to kind of show that we're not alone out here and that this is a global discussion. And so that's kind of the goal. And so Jason and I will be working over the next month to try to figure out, get a good, you know, pricing structure, figure out what we can and can't do, and also fundraise, particularly for the social media campaign.
So if anyone's interested in you know, giving me feedback or actually working with me on looking for images and whatnot, you know, hit me up.
Okay. Thank you very much for that, Jason and Mark as well. I think if John agrees, we probably, and if everybody wants to take a break, that's what we built in. It's a long time to just sit still. So we will not take more than 10 minutes, but a 10-minute break, after which we will come back, and we then have just an hour left to, John will facilitate some discussion of the strategic plan and what Jason, within that context, there may be people who focus on the media campaign and give Jason some feedback. And then we'll have the last piece of Virginia presenting, and then a wrap-up process. So it's a lot to do within an hour. But are people wanting to take with thumbs up or thumbs down if you want a 10-minute break? Virginia's suggesting 5 minutes, a 5-minute break. Okay, let's attempt to be back ready to work at 10 minutes of, between 10 and 5 minutes of.
And also, Lucille?
Yeah.
I have a video shoot that I have to do this afternoon, so I'm going to have to jump out of here before too long. But I'll put my email in the message. But I'll stick around for a little bit, but I will probably have to jump out before it ends.
Okay. Is there anybody else who has to leave before 10 minutes from now? All right. We will see you back 5 minutes if we can. Great. Thank you very much. Bo-Young and John and I just did something that's never happened in a Zoom meeting all year yet, which is to create a breakout room for three of us during the break. And so we discussed the rest of our meeting, because we just have an hour left and we do want to respect people's time. So what we decided was that we would ask Virginia to do her presentation first on her campaign. And then we will will break into four rooms that have a mixture of members, non-director members, and board members in them, for a chance for us to hear and have some smaller discussions, particularly to hear from and get feedback, input from those of you who aren't on the board, so didn't engage in the strategic planning, and on Virginia's proposal for this campaign, which the board itself has endorsed in terms of our giving support for it. And then we'll come back together and have a brief time of wrapping up that work together. So unless I see lots of thumbs down, we would ask Virginia to do her, maybe cutting it a little bit shorter, a presentation and Q&A to try to fit it into 15 minutes instead of 20, if you can.
Okay. I'm gonna share my screen first. Okay. Can you all see it?
No.
Here, you have to make sure you have that screen open on your computer before you hit share screen.
Oh, I did do that. It wants it. It's sending me to accessibility. Oh, I see. Oh, interesting. It wants. Hold on. I do have to go back out. Shoot, I thought I had this all totally set up. Oh. Did
you hit shares?
I did, but yeah. It wants me to go into...
And then you have to select the file that you want to share.
No, I have to go to System Preferences.
Oh.
Does anybody else have this problem? It wants me to go into System Preferences and tell Zoom. It's letting me.
You don't have to do all that.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to do that.
But you guys didn't have anything show up from my.
Did you go? So you, as long as you have that screen open, when you go to share screen, you click on share screen in the bottom toolbar.
Yeah.
And then you should see, you select the window then, and you select the one that you want us to see, and then you click share. Now it's coming.
Oh, okay.
I can see, can others? Except you have a lot open.
There, that's better.
Okay. So, when I went, I'll just talk really fast. When I went to the AMI conference last year with my big book, it really became very clear to me that even amongst ourselves, it's hard to pick up that big a book and dig into it, and that I needed to take some time to shrink it down to something that was much more easily readable. And in January, so I was kind of working on that through the winter months, and then in January or February, Mark Pash contacted me and said, would you like to do what I was doing together? And he would pay for the first round of publication. And that was just like getting an enormous jolt of energy. And I think it's been a very productive partnership, because Mark comes from a business background. He really made me make sure I was saying business and the economy, business and the economy throughout the book. And then we've been back and forth 10 or 12 times polishing it. And then a lot of you on the board took time to read through it and make further comments. So the campaign is based around how we pay for a better world. And we all agree it's time to change our money from private bank money to public asset money. And we can do it. It's time to take our message on the road. So the goals for the campaign are that by December 2019, which isn't very far away, I would really like us to reach 65,000 people with our message. That sounds crazy, but a lot of politicians have done it in a very short period of time. I know we don't have their status and gravitas, but we can work at it too. I'd like to get at least 200 people in each state who have at least seen our message. And I'd like every one of our people in Congress to have had at least one contact from somebody. And before December, I want to have test marketed what venues, advertising media, presentations, what works, you know, what gets the best response. And then by February 2020, I'm hoping with all that information, I can put together a cross-country bus trip. And before November 2020, which is the election, I hope to have completed an at least 8-week RV adventure tour, making presentations along the way, including any related conferences, and having maybe some rally in Portland or Seattle or San Francisco on one end of it on this coast, and a rally in DC on the other. So by November 2020, my goal is for us to reach 3 million people with our message. That might mean getting them to log on to our website, your website, any website about money reform. It might mean buying copies of the small book and sharing it with a small group. I want to, we to get at least 10,000 people in every single state and to have each congressperson receive at least 500 messages, postcards or something from people with our message. So how are we going to do that? I picked the 3 million because there was a book about monetary reform that was published, I think, in about 1907. And a million people bought that little pamphlet. It's about a 30, 40 page long, dense, 1900 language, hard to read. And at that time, there were about 100 million Americans. So if they could do that in 1907 with no internet, we should be able to get that same percentage of our population interested today. And that's 3 million people. So we're going to do it in three different ways. One is the mini book that is with the book designer right now, and an accompanying postcard that people are invited to send to their congressperson saying, please read up on money reform. Here are my priorities. We could do these if we made a change. The mini book and the postcard, I expect to put out there in person, in presentations, booths at fairs, Saturday markets. I'm waiting to hear back from the Oregon State Fair. I don't know if I can get a booth there. And I don't know whether it's worth the $2,000 to do it, but over 300,000 people go in those 11 days. And part of the cost is I'm going to have to pay my grandkids some kind of stipend to hang out with me. You have to staff it for 12 hours a day for 11 days. And obviously one person can't do that. You got to go eat and pee. I'm hoping everyone will test out community venues in their own communities. Libraries, bookstores, granges, conferences, quilt shops, state fairs, Saturday flea markets, neighbors. Part of what I'm going to be doing is just leaving books in doctor's offices or at hairdressers, leave them with the library and see if we get response for that. I'm also creating a new website, howwepay.us, with the idea that the more we cross-pollinate, the more we build up credibility and the more action we'll get. So that's in the works. And then I anticipate blogging and vlogging at the adventure. So there's a story for people to follow. And the story is this group of intrepid people who is stepping out there to change the money system. So any kind of input, little videos of when you're meeting with people, those are all welcome. And again, they can be posted on all our venues. Then the third is that national tour, the coast-to-coast RV trip. And I have done nothing about this yet, but I'm really hoping I can enlist on a volunteer basis my nephew's wife, who is Jane McGonigal. She's one of the 100 most young people. She's a game designer, PhD in gaming. She's done TED Talks. And I have done nothing about this yet, but I'm hoping I can talk her into helping design some kind of game we can play on the journey to encourage more people. So the mini book, How We Pay for a Better World, is the first step. And the first run total costs are running about $12,000. And I sent a private message to Jason saying that I'm spending about $1,500 from Adobe and iStock, and there's no reason why we can't find a way to share those so he has those accessible to him. Mark is paying the cost of the first run of 4,000, and I'm trying to weigh, it depends on whether I get into the state fair, how many to have shipped expedited. But including all those production costs, the first book is going to cost, the cost is about $3, but thereafter, the next production runs will run about $2. And my intent is that we'll wholesale and bulk them for $4 a copy, and a dollar can go back to Great Democracy to help pay for what we've invested so far, including my time and my livelihood, and then a dollar for the Alliance. So you know what? If we meet that 65,000 sell the books in the next year, we've got a salary for an executive director. And the retail price that I'm going to stick on it is $9.95. But that doesn't mean if you want to buy them for $4 and sell them for $5, go for it. So the call to action postcard is going to say, dear congressperson, changing our money, we can change the world and we can pay for our priorities. Please find out how that works. And here are my priorities and a place for them to list a few. And then my idea is that if, for instance, at the Oregon State Fair, I will have labels for all of our congressmen that can go on it and stamped. So I can sell a postcard. You can sell a postcard wherever you go for $1. That'll include the cost of your label and the sticker, and you'll still make some money. And then this at the end of this summer, I am going to test venues. Not in this. It's going to be in my Prius. So the gas will be a lot cheaper. And I'm going to spend, as soon as I get the books, I'm just going to spend the next couple months testing out what works and who can I book venues with. And I'm hoping that by when winter arrives, it will be possible to pull together a plan. I will have polished the pitch. I'll know what works. I'll know what expenses run, what venues work. And that sometime in 2020, we can make a coast-to-coast adventure run on the Epura Bus 1. Following along with all of this, I do have the website, howwepay.us. I actually have all the URLs for that. And I wanted to have a blog, a video blog of the adventure, podcasts from the road. I'm going to subscribe to Mapline app shortly, as soon as I have the book. And that's something we can use to all of us. We can that can be cross headlined, so it's also an alliance page, so we can get, when you go talk to a group of 20 people about it, then get it up on the map line so we know we've got 20 people in wherever who are interested and aware, and let's fill in the map. We can link to everyone's site. There will be an app for donations on that to cover the cost of the road trip. So what can you guys do? One, help pay for the initial costs. I still have, I've paid for half down on the website and the web designer, he's going to be done with the book design on this coming Friday, and I'll need to pay him the balance for that. And then just help pay for gas. I'm hoping I won't need to pay much for lodging. I have relatives and friends from Bellingham near the Vancouver, BC, all the way down to LA. I'm going to couch surf as much as I can on the West Coast while we test this out. And I've got a Prius, so gas isn't much. But gas tanks are welcome. And then pre-order copies. Tell me how many copies you'll get out there at $4 a copy. Commit to distributing some of the books and testing venues in your own community. Send me information on potential conferences. You know, where do maybe we want to go as a group, but I want to get it on the map line and figure out where do we want to be, and do we want to buy a vendor space, do we want to be a speaker. So send me all the information you have over the course of a year. Most of those things have to be planned well in advance. And then for next summer, get information on your state fair. State fair is a tremendous number of people go to those. I volunteered for Kucinich in two of his campaigns at the state fair, and it is a good way to be seen and heard by lots of people. That's why most politicians do that. And then when we know more about what the plan is for the road trip, I can't drive a great big giant RV, which is why I'm looking at a Class B RV, the small kind. I'm assuming I'll need to drive it part of the way. And if you don't mind kind of a cozy dorm-like space. They're, the ones I'm looking at has three kind of twin bed places, but it's close quarters. But it could be fun. So think about joining me. So that's it. How long did I take?
That was really good. That was just a little over 10 minutes. That's pretty impressive, Virginia.
Sue Stack.
Okay.
Virginia, go ahead, Sue.
Virginia, can you go for, in 2020, can you go for more than 1 week?
No, in 2020, what am I doing? Okay, is the share off? How do I get the share off?
It's off, Virginia.
It's off.
Oh, okay. No, my plan is in 2020, for that to be at least an eight-week trip. So people could either come, I'm going to do the whole 8 weeks, but people can come in for a week of it and then check back out again, and someone else can drop in and spend a week. Or if someone says, you know, I really want to do 4 weeks of that, 5 weeks, whatever, you know, first come, first served. I will need company. My sister will go part of the way, but she's not on for the whole thing.
I love that idea because it reminds me of the buses that used to go in the anti-war movement, the buses that used to go from coast to coast, you know? And I think that's a great idea. I love it.
Well, it's a way to have a story to tell as well. Because every new town you roll into, you can do another little podcast. You know, here we are at the hair salon. What do you know about money?
Yeah.
Are you okay if we broadcast you? Anyway, I don't know if that's going to work. The next few months are just going to be trying it out.
And I just have a few more. I wrote down a few more responses. The Green Party, National Green Party, has a candidate for president, Dario Hunter, and maybe coordinate getting together with him and doing, you know, he might have ideas. He's around the whole country, you know. He might have ideas, and he came to our Banking and Monetary Reform Committee, and he's educated himself about money, and he's behind it. So
awesome.
Oh yeah. It's to find a candidate who's willing to talk about it as an issue in their, you know. The other person I was thinking of in terms of getting the message out into the ether of the internet is in New York City is Harrison Schultz, because he when he was in Occupy Wall Street, but he didn't know about the NEED Act, and he also says today, if he had known about the NEED Act, he could have been, he's good with media, he could get it out there. So he's another one you might want to have a talk with. And,
let me interrupt, because we want to make sure to have time to do the small groups where you'll have lots of opportunities to, everyone will have an opportunity to make some kind of an input. So the idea is to divide up into these small groups at this time to continue this conversation of the type that's been generated, both in response to Virginia's thing and the sort of five items that Mark listed in terms of what came out of the strategic plan. If you remember correctly, let's see, what are those? I don't have them in front of me, but they're Lucia, unmute yourself. Yeah, go ahead.
I just put them on the chat, so I think follows. Jason's video, I don't know if he sent that to all or not, so I put it up there. But then after that, it's, you have to find it. It says summary of five prongs. So that's the very brief summary of the five-pronged strategic plan.
I just thought we were going to, as a whole group, give feedback to Virginia, that's all.
Yeah, well, it was a good feedback. But now, Lucille, why don't you do the thing of breaking us up into the small group?
Okay. So just to give everybody a heads up, I have everybody in four different breakout rooms with about five or six people per room. And each room has at least one, maybe two directors. And then other members. And the idea, as John maybe just said, is to discuss as a smaller group, especially the new, the non-director members, to give input, questions, feedback, suggestions on whichever of the prongs you want to talk about or Virginia's campaign. And we're going to spend about 15 minutes. Is that right, John?
Yes.
Okay, about 15 minutes in a group, and you'll get a reminder, you'll get a notice that there's a minute left, and then you have to wrap up, and maybe, John, any instructions before that?
Yeah, the board, there'll be a board member in each group, and board members try to take some notes so that we make sure we capture these ideas that are coming up, some of these ideas we may not have thought of before. So that's important to record these things. And if we have an opportunity, we'll do a quick summary before we go on to the closing of the meeting.
And real quick, I have to leave, but I want to just say thank you all, and we'll talk soon.
Hi, Jason.
Video was great, Jason. Really good.
Thanks. I look forward to your feedback.
You get it. It's great.
Great job, Jason.
Cheers.
Thank you, Jason, very much. All right, so there is one new person who arrived while Virginia was speaking. Mark Tognati, maybe you just want to unmute yourself and introduce yourself briefly, say where you are, and yeah.
Yes, thanks, Lucille. This is Mark. I'm in San Francisco. I'm sorry I couldn't get on earlier. I guess I came shortly after the beginning of Virginia's discussion. And just a fly on the wall right now.
Great. Okay. Well, we're glad you're here. And
thank you.
We're just going to break up one group. Is Joe back? Is Joe here? Mm-hmm. Symbol is, but I don't know if he's on his computer anyhow. Are you there, Joe? We're going to move to the rooms. It could be breakout four is a little small.
I'm not sure if we need number five. I'm not sure how much to discuss on that one.
We're ready, and if anybody needs to come back into the main room, they just will have the option to do that. So we're gonna give it a try. Here we go.
See, I have three people in the room here. And who's the 216 number?
Greg here.
Oh, hi, Greg. Yeah, your name got erased, so I'll put it back in again. I guess I can't. You won't let me do it. Okay. I was waiting for a couple more people, but I guess they decided to break it up a little differently than the original list I had. I thought Mark Tognati was going to be here, and Howard Marks, and that's okay. So how does it sound so far, Greg, listening while you're driving?
So is it just the two of us?
Okay, no, it's the three of us. Sue Peters is here too, so it's three of us.
Oh, okay. All right. A reaction.
Yeah.
First reaction to this ambitious proposal. I guess I want some clarification on, is it a proposal or is it an announcement? Sounds like it's happening.
Are you talking about Virginia's?
Yeah, Virginia. Sounds like she's at least going to try do a trial run, regardless of what we think about it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is essentially an announcement. And oh, hi, Lucille.
Oh, yeah, I just joined you because I think Joe is not on his screen.
Okay.
And it would be great to hear from Greg.
Yeah, this is great. So he was asking whether Virginia's program was what she was asking for approval or whether it's an announcement. And I think it's more of an announcement that we agreed to support. Is really, she was going to do it regardless of whether we did or not. And so we decided that, yes, we do endorse what she's doing and want to contribute as much as we can.
Okay. And so the board has already given a tentative support for this trial run.
That's correct.
Okay.
Just in terms of what support means, Greg, in general, many of us have been reading the book and giving some feedback on the book and edits, and you know that the first draft is going to print. And secondly, that individual board members, a few have offered to donate some money to that campaign, and we've signed sort of a memorandum of agreement with Virginia that if there are any Alliance members who specifically want to support financially this campaign and want to do it in a big enough amount that they would like a tax exemption for it, you can donate through the Alliance. And beyond that, you know, it's the board in our endorsement of it, entire campaign is very consistent with our mission and our guiding principles and our committee objectives. But, you know, it's not exactly fleshing out what more support means beyond what I just said. It remains to be seen. And
yeah.
I would love to hear your feedback on it, what your reactions are.
Yeah. Well, I guess my first reaction was just to clarify that this was something that had some pre-approval and, you know, she just didn't have this good idea and was kind of cowboy or car girlish going out on her own and saying, hope you'll join me, you know, that the process was inclusive. So it sounds like the process has been inclusive. And to do this something as ambitious as she's talking about right could be, you know, like one of the two or three only thing that would or could be done, because I mean, that's, again, to do it, you can do it, but you know, we had a project, Move to Amend, of trying to help people actually march across the country, and it became kind of almost a full-time effort for a couple of staff people just to kind of coordinate that, to do it right and to really milk it and maximize the full potential because of all of the media opportunities and logistics and educational ways to do it and, you know, collecting names and the like. So that's my reaction there. And sort of the other part of it related to Mark, to me, I'm not sure it was a strategic plan as much as a strategic brainstorm. Because, wow, that was an awful lot of ideas that are, you know, I mean, at some point, there's got to be some agreement and matching of what people are interested in versus the ambitiousness of the range of what all was suggested. I mean, even in 18 months, I think that's pretty hard, I think, to accomplish. So figuring out and picking out a couple things that sort of meet the basics of, you know, educationally, what part or pieces of it meet the basic, you know, sort of following things. I think one is, you know, maximizing education, number one, two, recruiting numbers of people, number three, raising money, and four, you know, just sort of doing general
how does communication relate to that? But, you know, those are, to me, pretty important. And I'm not sure if what was suggested, because, you know, I didn't see the screen, but just listen to it. Sometimes early on, what groups do to try to get people on, even groups that have been around for a long time, do to get more people on their side is to start a petition. You know, here's what we stand for. And so what do you think? And so it's a way to get people, you know, if they may not become members right away. They're simply people who signed the petition that you then, once they sign, you can then go back to them and, you know, go at them in terms of, would you be willing to donate? Would you be willing to do education in your community, et cetera? So I'm just wondering if that might be something we're considering. Pass.
Yeah.
I'd say absolutely. I mean, I think we try to leave things broad enough so that if ideas like this percolated up, we could you know, identify them and kind of latch on to them. But you're right, it was essentially a brainstorming meeting.
Yeah, terrific idea. Terrific idea.
I want to hear from Sue, but before we turn to you, Sue, I just would add that I appreciate what you're expressing, Greg. I do think there was a bit more specificity in the prongs that we laid out. For instance, the last one that was about membership, it really basically was about trying to, and it has yet to happen, and it's my responsibility, but to identify among our existing members what are their already existing affiliations with, you know, whether it's unions, church groups, you know, municipalities that they really want to connect with, all sorts of associations, and then looking at that and seeing if there are some common themes or threads that every, you know, we have five members that are all members of the Audubon Society, and they're doing land use work. And that then becomes strategically a group that we focus on initially. So that, you know, all that work was really membership and movement oriented committee work, but it was focused around trying to identify the common threads among our existing members of organizations that our existing members want to reach out to and bring the money question to and mobilize in those contexts.
Mm-hmm.
Sue, I don't want to run out of time before we heard you if you have any input to give. You're muted. Let me try and...
Okay. We're talking about the strategic plan or continue?
Either, whatever you want to talk about.
Anything.
Okay.
You know, Greg spoke to
both. So, I think with Virginia, I think she'll do it and she'll find out what works and what doesn't work. I mean, it's a huge amount of work that she's laid out. But I think she has to do it and see what works, you know? I mean, I agree with Greg. To do everything that she said, you need a battalion of monetary reformers at their computers, you know, keeping track of all the contacts and information and everything, and making plans and this and that. But some of it, I think, would be very beneficial. The making contact person to person, trying to create bonds with different organizations across the country. I feel it's very positive, can be a very positive experience, learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it was, dreaming big and taking the steps. And it may not all go as foreseen, but it's in sync with what we want to do. And you're right, it may take over what the Alliance does. I'm not sure that's what all the board members want.
but it may also dovetail with other things that we want to do, and other board members and members will make those things happen. And yeah, but we don't have two staff people to devote to it, that's for sure. And it's not the Alliance, it's a project, you know, and that might even be putting it strongly to say it's a project of the Alliance. I mean, the board supported it unanimously and, you know, agreed to be a pay through of funds to support it, and those funds have to go for 501c3 type stuff, but it will. Anyhow, other input you have, Greg? Your thoughts? Or?
I have just been running into so much reference to Green New Deal and MMT, mm-hmm. and in terms of trying to figure out, you know, where any group lands in trying to make connections with big picture things to immediate things. You know, you got to pick your battles and pick just a couple of issues. And even though, you know, there may be a universe of connectors, and it just seems like Green New Deal is a wonderful, timely, relevant, strategic connection, and that video apparently, you know, does pay attention to it, so that's excellent. I would just affirm focusing on that, and not just because it's important, but, and I don't want to be critical, but MMT is trying to co-opt this whole thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, John Howell is coming to Cleveland to talk about this stuff, and we put the word out, and some people have said, oh, this, you know, this is not MMT. MMT is sort of the answer to all of this. And, you know, these are like neophytes that, because MMT is who they are and they've got cash and they've got the academic cachet, people are into it. I mean, you know, I just think that there's got to be some real focused effort to respond to how this is different than MMT.
Yes, 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 yes. You know, it's a strategy that we're still refining on, because even giving MMT negative attention is still attention. Mm-hmm. So we have to do it in such a way that acknowledges and in some way diminishes what MMT is without going on the full frontal offensive, because they have the power right now in terms of the numbers. And we come across as trolls, to be honest. And it's a very difficult position that we're in. So any feedback or any suggestions that you come up with as time goes on in terms of dealing with this would be very helpful.
Go ahead. Greg, thank you.
Greg, and this then I can go over.
MMT, I mean, MMT is another one of the bankers' attacks. They do it all the time. They've been doing it for fucking centuries. I just...
And they got dumped.
What?
And it seems like they've gotten to Delman Coates.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that
man.
It was very painful.
Story for another time. Go ahead, Sue, and then
Greg. Okay. And I've been dealing with this for over a year, and I'll point out a few things. Number one, I think there's been some negative publicity about MMT out there in the Ethernet. They're not 100% supported by, you know, the current thinking. But also, our message, if we don't focus on our message, what true sovereign money is, and the history, we're coming from a history that's our strength. If that isn't the focus, then I think we're sunk. Anyway. Why don't you try to debate with MMT versus Alliance, and they will pull you into the details, and the audience is lost.
Yeah.
Greg, you want to have the last word before we close the chat room?
Yeah, well, Mutamen is dealing with the same thing. I mean, this is a reality that happens across the board. Whenever there's a fundamental change that threatens the established status quo, out come the half-assed. Okay, it's happened from time immemorial. And, you know, it's a delicate, you know, you don't want to give them publicity. You don't want to just be negative. You want to be positive and all. An approach Mutamen has taken for the alternative constitutional amendments that are out there that don't go as far as what we think needs to go on is we developed sort of a chart to compare. So you line up their language, you line up ours.
Right. Did you get cut off?
So we developed a simple chart that just says, here's their language, here's our language. Okay, and then you sort of comment, this is what they say, this is what we say. And so it can be simple. You're, you know, not quote-unquote attacking. You're just comparing and contrasting. But in the course of doing that, you're making the...
Uh-oh.
I think you got...
We lost him. Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
I don't know. He might have gone back to the joint.
Right. That was a great suggestion. So good. I
spent there in 7 seconds.
Yeah, I have it. Written down.
2, 1, 0.
People working in. There are innovative capital, impact
right,
capital.
We're back again, I think.
So now. Sorry, I was still talking in our breakout call.
I got the main gist of your message. So related networks, but maybe not necessarily 100% on board with what we're advocating, but within a similar field.
Yeah, what would a conference look like, for example, if we brought together, that it wasn't just people who are on board, but related stakeholder groups to talk about money.
Right, great.
We could learn something and they could learn from us.
Thank you. That's great.
Okay, it sounds like you were having a really good conversation there in that group. So I wonder
welcome
if
to our group, everybody.
Right. So why don't you start in terms of can you give a short, fairly short capsule summary of some of the issues that were talked about in your group?
Oh gosh, Stephen took some notes. Stephen, would you mind giving some highlights?
I'd be happy to. One is that Mike talked about social media for us to do things locally, elevator, you know, speeches with that, find local activists, find government reps. Mark then talked about having a grow chapter or a chapter kit so we can grow and to have a geographical connection with that. In the kit, Mike then talked about posters laminated, but also for printouts from a computer, get it on message boards. I was thinking maybe libraries. Zarlanga often went to libraries locally. I was with them often. Mike talked about important concepts, constitutional money, seniorage, definition of money, and maybe to have, I was thinking maybe to get multiple handouts on this. Some people really like the word constitutional, and we could get maybe some threefolds on that with some of these definitions of seniorage, money, etc. And then Bart talked about what groups already exist that we can reach out towards. And then Kate also mentioned an important idea that every population in the country benefits, has people who are activists, and every local group should have connections for us. I was, you know, continuing with that. Mike then talked about national healthcare outreach, You know, like local HR 676 with Physicians for National Healthcare, they should be into this and supporting this. And then Mark was going out further to further networks at the end. That's all for now.
Okay, thanks, Steve. We got another group that wants to offer a summary. I don't have the list of groups in front of me, but maybe somebody else can volunteer at this point.
I will start for the group I joined, and maybe Greg could join in because it was Sue, Paul, myself, and Greg. It was very productive, and I think Greg's sentiment was it's a very ambitious campaign, and keep that in mind. And we all have that in mind, and he had the sense it could take over the alliance. I think we have the sense that that's not quite going to happen, but it will remain to grow how our work with the campaign develops. Another point that Greg made and we discussed was that he hears MMT and the Green New Deal being mentioned all the time, lots of that, and he sees the latter as a really good opportunity for us. And, you know, we should work with Jason's video and connect, and that others voice, Sue especially, and Greg, that MMT is just one more instance of taking over, you know, a movement that gets serious about questions of power. And we should not, Sue really spoke strongly about not getting sucked into that, distracted by attending to MMT too much. Greg or Sue, do you want to add or move on?
I think Greg had some good ideas. He mentioned the concept of a petition that we could get people to sign up to, you know, maybe our philosophy, not necessarily first becoming a member and then solicit them, you know, for membership, but just sign a petition that they think is a good idea, what we're proposing. He also suggested a comparison chart between MMT and monetary reform that very clearly lays out the differences. And I think that would, I know there have been some efforts in that regard, but not maybe in a simplified chart form. And I think that would be very useful. He also mentioned that having these kind of half-assed counter solutions, he didn't use those words, are plague other groups like Mend as well, where people will come in with what sounds like a solution, use the right words, but really it's not a solution at all, or compromises the real solution. So I thought those are really good, you know, good concepts. He was also concerned about our strategic plan as being maybe too much in it, but I didn't think it came out that we really did. I want to focus on a few of the key, we did still in on a few items in the plan. So.
Sue Stack.
Go ahead, Sue.
I just want to say one of the points I made about Virginia's plan is that it's large, very large, but Virginia is brave enough to attempt, and she'll find out what works and what doesn't work.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, we have two more groups to go. One is our group, what's the other group?
Mark, Tom, Virginia, and Jerry. Are the ones, oops,
Well, we have Virginia in our group, so you can guess what we talk about.
Well, tell us.
No, I think I just mentioned just to make sure that in trying to push the message out that that you think about audiobooks and also electronic books, not just your traditional hardcover or softcover book, and that a lot of young people today listen to audiobooks and a lot of them read books on their smartphones and on their tablets. So they are not necessarily going to be interested in a book per se that they have to take with them. And so just to give that some thought and think about how it may work. And then we talked a little bit also about, Thomas has some comments about fundraising, whether or not we should increase the dues or really push for people to donate monthly as Over does. To at least try to, he mentioned that our $700 wasn't very much, which I agree with. And that if we did have some people who have the means to give more, that we try to tap into them that are in our group that, you know, could maybe give $250 or $500 a year or something like that. So I don't know if I missed anything, but.
Anybody from that group want to add anything? Okay, if not, we got one more group to hear from, and I guess I will take the liberty of going ahead and summarizing quickly, and then we can bring our meeting to a timely adjournment. Remarkable. So in our group, I think it was Mary Sanders and Gobert and Howard and Janet and myself. Unfortunately, Janet had a problem with her phone being muted and was unable to unmute it, so get the benefit of her participation. Mary pointed out with enthusiasm that it sort of underlies Virginia's plan, and that there are many things to do, but it's an exciting opportunity that it's plans that have been thought out carefully like this that can move us forward. Because so often we have these ideas, but for somebody to have what it takes to put together in a very coherent plan of action that gives us ways to measure is a real gift to us. And we both see that in Virginia's plan. And indeed, for some of the things that came out of the strategic plan, which were very expensive too. And Govert shared quite a bit about his efforts to get the materials on Facebook and on social media in an effective way by making these connections. And as a person who's pretty much of a Luddite myself, I really am very happy for that kind of thing to be taking place because I realize it's absolutely essential. But there's also a role for talking in smaller groups and doing things locally, as has been suggested by others. And Howard also talked about the use of the trifold, which he generated, and I have passed out at a meeting I was recently at and was well received, and he emphasized the need for the social media as well. I brought up another issue that has come up from our own local monetary group, and I know it's a concern of Mark Pash that I think we have to keep in mind, and that's be able to make a pitch that it's possible for a wide range of people in the political spectrum to be able to respond to, and in order to do that, I'm exploring the idea of how will the NEED Act affect local banking as opposed to Wall Street? Because maybe local banking will come out right. And if we could make a case for that, maybe we could actually bring along some of those people, at least so they wouldn't be so actively resistant to the proposal. So these were some of the things that we talked about in our group. So anybody else want to add anything to that then from our group?
And let me just add that I just sent out a message to board members to please send a compilation of comments that you've written down as a result of the breakout session, so I can include them in the minutes.
Thank you, Paul. I think that's important.
You'll get an email.
I'd like to add, John.
Go ahead.
So for the optimization of our communication all between us, if anybody hasn't yet signed up for the newsletter, which you can do on our website at the bottom, please do so. So far we have sent out two. We might not be in a monthly routine, but that newsletter will have a lot of, you know, what we are producing and you know, announcements, etc. That's one of our central or crucial ways to stay in communication with each other. The same thing I would say also to get to the Facebook, and I just want to clarify that we do have two Facebook pages. One I had to set up so that I could set up a group page. So on the first one, it is clearly stated, you know, this is, you know, go to the group page because that's where the action is. And I'll put in the group page Facebook here in the chat. Go there and try to, you know, either sign up or become or leave a like, and I can get you into the group. Because I think, so I have a deal with Leah, who's doing Twitter, that whatever she puts on Twitter, she would also put on Facebook, on that group page. I have committed to that whatever we produce as an article or news item or blog will also be put on that Facebook. And I've been using that Facebook also, for example, to announce that, you know, the videos, for example, of the Future of Money conference with people like Steve Keen and Kumhoff and Huber, they have just been uploaded, not totally complete. But I put that in there too. I mean, that's an item, for example, that can get also into the newsletter. But so far as I am using it, Facebook, I like to see that as maybe as a, and again, I didn't like the word itself, but as a central dumping ground of monetary reform relevant items. I pick up things from the Positive Money Europe, or Positive Money UK, you know, whatever is in the English language, and then put it on Facebook. So I invite everybody, you know, to get engaged on that page. We could have discussions there too, so we don't need to have, you know, discussions amongst ourselves, or, you know, where people can see, okay, you know, there are things being discussed here. People don't need to have the same, you know, opinion. So that is my my little two cents for you know, promoting the communication between all of us.
Thanks, Gohert. And this is what the Communication Website Committee has been involved with, and you've been involved with that. And it's essential that this effort continue. And if you have any specific suggestions, and as you've already given, in terms of what individuals can do, but how individual committees might be able to help with this as well, pushing it forward, then I think you should communicate that to the rest of us. So thank you. I think I should turn it back to Lucille at this point, because I think you wanted to do some polling. Is that right, Lucille?
There is. We set up ahead of time just two brief polls, one on the strategic plan and one on the campaign. And it may be Janet is not able to do it on the phone, but I think everybody else could. And it'll just take a brief moment or two, and it just gives us a sense of where everybody's at. And so I'll share that, and maybe while we're doing it, Janet, if you can't do it, if there's anything, I did unmute you, if there's anything you want to share, that would be great. So I did just share it. Do you all see the poll on your screen?
How do we? How do we respond?
click on one item under each option.
Yeah. Oh, now it's responding.
So for Janet, on the phone, the first question is, do you endorse the prong, the strategic plan? Will you contribute time and expertise to it? Are you able to contribute any seed money to it? And do you have any, the last question there is, do you have any ideas for fundraising? And then when that's done, there's a 1 second poll that people are still doing it.
Yeah, I can't respond.
No one. You can't? You should be able to click on an item.
No.
Oh, it's probably because you're
a host.
Oh, maybe.
That's okay.
I just withdrew you.
Thank you.
It did work for me.
Yeah, it worked for me.
Worked for
yeah,
me.
No, it's fine. I was host. I was co-host, so I couldn't.
Anybody else still voting? I see 11 out of 17, 12 out of 17. Five more seconds to finish. One, two, three, four. All right, I'm closing that poll. And here's, you see the second one? No?
Are you sharing your screen, Lucy? Oh,
no, never mind. First,
oh, there we go. Okay. You got it?
Thank you. So this is the result.
Good.
Can you all see it?
Yep.
So for Janet, who I did unmute, but I don't hear you, 100% endorse, 85% will contribute time and expertise, 46% will be able to contribute some monthly amount, and another 38% something within the next 6 months. And then the last question is 54%, or about 85%, either have ideas for fundraising and are willing to help do it, or maybe. So that's good to know. And
sorry, Lucille, that last point is really important, the fundraising ideas. If people have not had a chance to share those ideas in their small groups, we very much want to hear from you and want to hear your ideas. So I wonder who we can have as the point person. Would it make sense for Mark, since he's the treasurer?
Yes.
If you have fundraising ideas or fundraising leads, to please be in touch with Mark Young. Mark, can you put your email in the chat and people can be in touch with you with more specific details? Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do have, you know, the room open for another 45 minutes when we're done, and if people want to chat or say stuff then.
Sue's back.
I'm going to launch the second poll. Sue, go ahead, and then I'll launch the second poll.
Before we dissipate or go, I just want to say I want to thank the Executive Committee of the Alliance for all of the organizing that you've done to make a really successful meeting. It's a phenomenal amount of work, and I really appreciate it.
I second that.
many, many things.
Yeah. Agree. Same here.
Yep.
So the second poll is up. 7 of 17 have voted. And it's just on how we pay, the how we pay campaign that Virginia presented on.
Oh, can you send that out? Oh, can you send that out again? I didn't get it.
Can you click on poll under? Did anyone else not get it?
I got it.
I got it.
I didn't get it.
I got it.
Somehow I didn't get it. Oh dear.
Yeah, I think I can. Well, I can send it to you after. But.
Okay, do that, Lucille. That'd be great.
Yeah, I.
Lucy, I'm gonna have to run. I have to get to Costco before it closes.
Oh.
And it closes at 6.
I end the poll. I ended the poll. Here's the shared results. And we can process them later as a board. But so before, yeah, I don't know. We'll process them later. I don't want to spend Mark's time out. Before I do want to say, before we lose everybody, that this is, we started a new, we will be starting a new board, and Bo Young is the one board member who's not moving on with the board. And she'll hopefully come to our first meeting of the new board, because that's what our bylaws say. But she has made an immense, immense contribution to this organization for four years now, when she first showed up at AMI, until this very day. And, you know, Bo Young knows that she and I have tangled a little bit at times, and I know I've learned a lot from that tangle. Hasn't always been easy, but it's always been good. And I know you're not leaving the Alliance. I know you are just stepping back from the board for some time. And others may want to say something, but your wisdom, your leadership, your behind-the-scenes work, your upfront work, your reminding us to take turns and express appreciation, just your personhood is so very, very valuable. And we know you're going to do great work with IMMR and with Comer and with the Alliance as we move forward. But thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Bo Young, Bo Young, Bo Young, Bo Young.
Stop.
We may lose Mark through this, I don't know, but our last item, and we're only 9 minutes over, was to ask Howard to sing once more. I don't know if y'all want to listen to that, but this time I would share the words on the screen. And yeah, if you want to sing along, mute yourself. And sing to your heart's desire. Zoom does not work well with everybody singing at the same time. But if we mute ourselves, and we have Howard's lovely voice unmuted, then we can all sing along, and it'll sound good still. So unmute yourself, Howard. I'm going to share and mute myself. Can everyone see the words?
All right.
Mm-hmm. Can everyone see the words?
Yes.
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 Okay. So it goes, we've come to stand and raise our voice to celebrate this vital choice of how we share prosperity with world around humanity. So raise your glass and join the fun. There's always enough for everyone. Drink to a future bright and sunny. Join the alliance for just money. Our money will democratize. History shows us what is wise. Money will be issued free of all debt and usury. So raise your glass and join the fun. It's always enough for everyone. Drink to a future bright and sunny. Join the alliance for just money. A way to restore joy and life to a world beset by war and strife. Return the power to us all. And watch the banking waterfalls. Oh, raise your glass and join the fun. There's always enough for everyone. Drink to a future bright and sunny. Join the alliance for just money. A cornerstone of democracy. A way for us to guarantee we govern ourselves as we should. All money for the common good. So raise your glass and join the fun. There's always enough for everyone. Drink to a future bright and sunny. And join the alliance for just money. We'll govern ourselves as we should. All money for the common good. All right. Yeah, I'd love to do it with you all sometime. Again.
Yeah. We did it all together.
Time we're together. Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, Virginia, all right. Virginia could use a blaring out of her van.
Oh, yeah. Well, I talked to my daughter about doing a professional recording. She says, well, you know he deals with professionals, and I haven't heard back. So I'll have to look elsewhere.
So, yeah, before I ask for a motion to adjourn, I would ask that we just do one brief sequential round again, where each of us just in one word or one phrase shares a reaction to the last 3 hours and 15 minutes together. So whoever, and I'm not going to call on you, so when you're ready, you can share. Unmute yourself.
Stephen, grateful.
Stephen what?
Grateful.
Grateful. Grateful and amazed at what has been accomplished.
Sue.
I second that.
Sue, productive.
Mm-hmm. Informative.
Rejuvenating.
Mm-hmm. Collaborative.
I'm feeling encouraged.
Energizing.
Optimistic.
Yes. Yes to all.
Beautiful group with amazing energy.
Yes. Thanks, Mark.
Thankful and relieved.
Okay, group hug.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot. I want to unmute Janet.
Yes, I've been listening.
Is there any one word? I apologize for muting you again during the song.
Yes, I am. Just incredible. I'm just amazed.
Thank
you. All right,
you.
Incredible.
And a year from now, we are 100 times this size? At least 100. At least 100, so we have to buy a new Zoom program because we'll have outgrown our Zoom account.
A bigger monitor.
I'd like to make an early announcement that Lucille's coming to the MM committee to make it happen.
Okay. I'm happy to be on the movement and membership committee.
Yeah. Question. How many of us will be meeting at the AMI meeting, and how much should we prepare for that? Because, you know, last time we broke out and had our own, sessions, and...
Just did that at the end. After it was over.
True.
So how many people are going, just by a raise of hand, for sure now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Did we talk about...
I may or may not.
Did we talk about giving a presentation from the Alliance at the conference?
Has anybody been asked yet?
No, we can ask.
Yeah, we can ask to be asked.
No, seriously. Yeah.
When is the conference?
The first October. Weekend, Thursday through Sunday morning of October.
I think it starts October 3rd, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there's problems with their website. That conference is down from the AMI website, so... I sent Jamie a email about that, and we'll see what happens. But I sent it to Lucien too.
Sue, I would request, Sue, that you ask for a presentation time on Saturday, because if I come, it may be Saturday's the only day I can come, and hearing you will be my main reason.
Okay, I'll contact Jamie and ask him about Saturday.
So I would say we formally, that I call for a motion to adjourn. I think, did everybody share a word? I think everybody did. So I would maybe just call for a motion to adjourn, and then people can stay on for another 40 minutes, whoever wants to, but that we officially adjourn, unless there's... Yeah, if we have a motion and a second, and then if there's discussion that people want to say something before we adjourn, you can. But then we'll vote to adjourn, and then we'll stay, whoever wants to can stay for another 40 minutes. So is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Nice.
Okay, moved by John, second by Mary. Any discussion?
I have not heard a word from Joe Bongiovanni.
So, Joe Bongiovanni.
He's having trouble with his sound, I think.
No, he left a while ago.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. I forgot.
And I think he left his computer. He had said there was some emergency with his family. And
oh,
right.
He hoped to be back, but he didn't know.
Oh, dear. I hope everything's good.
Yeah.
Mary is waving.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that's the bye-bye.
No, thank you.
Let's
thank
you. Vote, Mary, to adjourn.
Yes, yes.
In favor of adjourning.
Yes.
Before Mary leaves, say aye.
Thank you, bye.
Aye. Aye.
Bye-bye.
I've got to leave, too.
Okay.
Take care, guys.
Over. Thank you all. Yeah. If you want to hang out and drink water.
Maybe a mini break?
I think so.
I
just have to get a snack or something.
Yeah.
I need to leave soon because we're having a birthday party soon for my son and my nephew. My son got home as we talked, so.
Cool.
Yeah, I think I'm going to bow out soon, too.
Yeah, I have about 5 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Virginia, anything you want to say as, I don't know.
Well, I'm excited to join the board.
Yeah.
We're excited to have you on the board.
Yeah.
We have most of us here, so I don't know, in that last email I sent, I will sort of create a poll, but I will ask you to send a quick email and ask you if there are any dates you can't make during that window, kind of let me know and I'll create a poll. But
okay.
Then that meeting we decide the officers at, and whoever ends up as president can take over chairing, but we'll have to, in the doodle poll, if you have agenda items, maybe we can put it in there. And hopefully we do better with groups IO. But anyhow, no more business. Laughter, comments.
Yeah. Let's see.
It's been a year.
It's been a year. Wow.
I can actually hear an ice cream truck. You guys mentioned it. I mean, they come maybe twice in a summer in my neighborhood, and I can hear one.
Not here.
Wow. Ice cream.
Yeah.
All right, go out, get us some ice cream.
Yeah.
Say goodbye. Any final
That'd be
words?
Good.
Thank you, Bo Young, and good luck with IMMR. And
Yeah.
I'll still be around. You can't get rid of me that easily.
That's good. Look forward to hearing the reports.
Yeah. Right.
Well, this Thursday is the IMMR Coffee House with Edgar Wortman. I'll send a reminder out now, actually. His talk is going to be actually quite good. It's on his six-year campaign in the Netherlands, what they've tried, what's worked, where they stand now. Maybe I'll see you on Thursday.
Yeah, send out that email.
What time is
it? I will do that.
What time?
It's at 2:30 Eastern time, so that it's in the evening for those in Europe.
That will go to all members, right?
Pardon me?
The email will go to all Alliance members.
Okay. Do we have that on the MailChimp poll?
You have the list, and whether or not MailChimp is.
I don't have their emails.
It was
on the list you gave me. I just have their names.
Oh, I will send you all the emails.
Okay, if you do that, I will put them on.
All right,
I will also get MailChimp up to date, too.
Okay, super.
And Bo Young, when we RSVP, then we will get a link to find out the Zoom connection?
Yeah, once you register, you will automatically get the Zoom link. And the Zoom link is different each time. It's not the same one as how we do it. And the reason why we ask people to register is so we can keep track of who attends, because we're so... we're coming from 30 different countries. I'll send that out later today.
Thank you, Bo Young. And I'll write up my notes for my group and send them to Paul.
And then to add that, Mark Bash will be on our own coffee house on July 29th.
The fourth Monday. Yes.
At 7 p.m. Central.
8 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
Overt, encourage him to join the Alliance.
What? He is not a member, not even level one member.
Right. He said he is planning on doing that. So.
Tell him there's scholarship money available.
Yeah, if he needs it, I'll help him out.
Yeah, there is a fund for it.
I don't get him to move.
No, and also try to get him to write something, you know, like a blog. But he committed to an outline of his thing, but an outline is not necessarily publishable. So I'll prod him a little more to get something written that we can, you know, put on our website.
Yeah, every time I ask him, he says, just read my book.
Yes.
What is
it? We got 3 or 4 people who have written books, and yeah, you know, they can, you know, refer to it. I might start just asking, you know, and I might do that with Virginia already, that we put, you know, parts of people's books on as smaller articles or smaller blogs.
Yeah.
You know, if they're well written, we can do maybe, if it's necessary, a little bit of editing. Mostly for online, you know, you break up maybe paragraphs, get some headings in there, just to make it more friendly for online reading. Also, I'm working with Nick on a really nice article that he wrote about the Nadelson article on the, you know, the constitutional legality of coining money. I think many of us know the Nadelson article. It's pretty long and it's pretty, you know, dry. Very, you know, legalese almost, but it's an absolutely fantastic article. So Nick took the energy and the time to make it more accessible. And so we're working on that. So that should be coming out soon as an article.
Well, if you haven't read Virginia's book, she's got an interesting little account of the language that's in the Constitution and how that came to be in terms of what was in the Articles of Confederation, and with some interesting speculation on her part what that meant in terms of attitudes at the time that gave rise to this ambiguity that's basically in the Constitution.
Interesting. If we can pass that on to Nick, you know, we can weave, you know, references into these articles.
My entire book is online. If you go to usmoney.us. You're welcome to copy and paste as long as you link back to it. Go for it.
No, yeah, I'll tell Nick to you know, if he wants to dig in to something like that. But at least we'll refer to it. We'll see how.
Okay.
We got different, you know, options there.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye, Paul.
Bye.
Letters on the website. I mean, you and Marie have really done some stellar work at this time, so thank you very, very much. It's great.
All right. I'm going
Did you hear me, Hobart?
No, because sometimes your volume is a little low.
Oh, really?
I'll put it up again.
Anyhow, I was just thanking you for all the work on the newsletter, the website, the writing that you've done with Marie. It's been really...
Thank you, yeah.
Really important work, and a lot. Thank you.
Unfortunately, Marie just retreated from our productivity.
Yeah.
So I think we have to put out a call, and I first will put it out to the board to have a new co-editor, because it's, you know, I don't want to make decisions, you know, about whether to post something, you know, an article or stuff like that. I don't want to have too many people involved. And so far with Marie, because she had such good knowledge content-wise, and you know, I do a little editing, which is more about the form. It would be great again to find another teammate, so that, you know, we can still stay productive without bothering too many people.
So I'll put it out to you, Lucille, to see if you know somebody else can maybe step up to step in the shoes of Marie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I encourage you to think about recruiting yourself.
Sure, yes, I will. And I will also soon again put out the call for people's top 10 or top 20 best monetary reform parts. That project is still going, but I still need, you know, more input. And I know some people have committed to it, and there are ways around it. Or you know, with Virginia, there's. She just gave me a picture of her bookcase with all the books. And so I have to take that as, you know, her top 20.
No, that was facetiously done.
I know.
That might not make a bad blog post. Just I invite people to say, what book got you into monetary reform? I don't know whether anyone will reply, but I notice online, on Facebook, people love to be asked a question. Everybody wants to tell you. And I would leave it to your favorite book, not your top 10, because that takes a lot of work thinking. But, you know, what book did you really like?
True, yeah. No, my project is a little more, sorry, a little more ambitious.
No, I know that, but you know, if you get one yes from people, it's easier to get the second yes. And if you say, what's your favorite book? And I mean, it sounds like you're not gonna get more than about 40 replies, even if everybody does reply, but hey, that's a start.
No, true. No, I have a start. I have some academics giving their weighted list already. Some others, I made one, I found some online sources that new research sites set up by Positive Money. They have a list of about, I don't know, 40 items. So I take that as their, you know, weighted list of important items. But I think we really need something between our, you know, big bibliography, which is not annotated and where you can get lost easily, and our very short list of introductory material, which if you're interested in, you know, you get through that pretty quickly. And you know, there will be people who want a little more, but need a little guidance, you know, to go somewhere. Instead of plunging into the big bibliography, you know, and getting into academic articles that might be a little above people's pay grades.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with where I ended up on the bibliography for the mini book, partly because, you know, there people had reservations about a lot of it, including me. And yet it seemed like one is also, for that particular book, making some political choices. You know, like it seemed worth including one of Ellen Brown's books. And I have the first one in there, but I'm seriously debating swapping it out for her new one, which I have, but I haven't had a chance to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Several people said they wanted a Graeber, and Lucille had, you know, it's just that, you know, there are a lot of people get the problem right, but then when they go to suggest a solution, they get off track. But at the same time, we need some credibility that, oh, well, we actually have read some other books. So you have to mention something.
Yeah. No, and also for the medium level list, I want to have it annotated where we make remarks like, this writer got it right on this and this point, but, you know, went off the whatever in these items. And yeah.
I agree.
Something about, you know, about this accessibility and you know, a link through Amazon, looking also for books that are not too expensive, especially with the academic books. You know, if you don't know your way around, you might end up, you know, paying $50, $60, $70, which is not always necessary. But anyway, so that is still kind of in the make. And
Stephen, I still invite you to get me your top 10 or top 20.
That I'll do that. And I just had a thought. I'll come back to it in a moment. I got way late for a moment.
I think, Stephen, you need to take a little cleaner to your camera lens because you're a little fuzzy.
Sorry, I'm going to rub you out. No.
No, it's nice. Soft focus.
Yeah, it looks like soft focus. It's true.
I do have Ellen Brown's new book. I have all three of her books, but I do like the new one. And
shall I swap that out?
Say again?
Well, I list the first. I have all three of her books too, but I haven't read the third one. So
you know what? Yes, it's an important book, I think, for us, for serious people to have, and for us to discuss it. And one of the things is Ellen Brown, in this book, is writing very broadly, which she does in all of her books, but it's a very broad sweep. And I'm just seeing how over time she's becoming more flexible as she looks at digital currency, and she's coming closer. I've tried contacting. I've spoken to her some months ago over the winter. And I talked to Jamie, and Jamie's going to all of the negativity on the AMI site. He's considering to get off that site, and to start building bridges there. So we'll see what happens.
What negativity on what site are you talking about?
AMI and Web of Debt, and Jamie. They tore into Ellen's Brown for a number of reasons, and Web of Debt.
And, on your website.
On the AMI website.
On the AMI website.
In a review.
Yes, in reviewing that book, and Jamie was in charge of it, and he was pushed by Zarlanga because the public money solution in supporting state banks still allowed the commercial banks to have their way. But as we look at Germany and other public banking, and as Ellen Brown grows and matures, she agreed with everything we were saying. She said, you guys going up against the commercial banks is impossible. And so that's more or less where she was with that. And she didn't give us much time, and then she had a fallout with Zarlanga. And in her new book, Zarlanga, AMI, the NEDAC's not mentioned, and except other people. You know, Kumhoff is mentioned, Joseph Huber is mentioned, you know. So we still have some repair work to do there, and obviously she's a valuable person too, so.
I think she and Joe have a decent communication somewhat, because there was some thread that he had shared with exchange between the two of them that sounded positive, and it was about references for that they were sharing with each other. It was, but it seemed positive, so I think we should work with that. So I'm glad you are, and I think Debbie Hillman is. And I'm really sorry Debbie didn't join today. I don't know what happened. She was planning on coming.
I've gone out to a few breakfasts with her, so I try to keep her informed. She's just really focused on her Twitter account and getting the message out there. And whenever... like I have it in my personal notes, you know, when Virginia and there's Quaker Earth Care Witness and a few other groups I'm a part of where I would like to connect with Virginia. But also, I'm trying to get my personal life simplified. I'm going to quit teaching now to focus on money. Except I just mentioned this. There's a Quaker high school in southeastern Ohio. I met them at this Quaker conference, and I know some people there. But they said I could teach a class there on money and focus on it. So yeah, that would be one way to start, you know, pushing and writing some curriculum and getting feedback from students. So I'm thinking about it.
Right. Which brings me to the idea, Lucia, what was your experience with teaching the DeMutzel Robbins book?
I used an anthropology of money, so it's I think written for an undergrad anthropology major. I use it for undergrad teacher ed majors, but I also have used it as one of three options that my doctoral students read. The other, they can choose that or Huber's book or Kosminski's Ecology of Money, which I really like all of except for the last chapter is really poor, and but I really would like a conversation with him, and I just haven't pursued it. He's another, you know, he's in his late 70s, I think. Anyhow, my experience is mixed. I think it's a really good idea of a book, and I don't think it's as good as it needs to be effective. And its biggest weakness, and maybe I sort of said this in the meeting, but they sort of, it's early on in the book, and they use synonymously almost fiat money and credit money or debt money, and that's only the current case. You know, yes, we have fiat money, but we've had fiat money since, you know, way before 1971 even, and all fiat money need not be debt-based, and they kind of make that slip early on, and it could have been corrected editorially, but that mindset is there throughout the book a little bit, and they're so that makes it a problem. And then they kind of try to do a lot in it. It's a good introductory book, it's not enough, but it's a good start. I think that's my biggest critique. I had a few other critiques, and you know, they're like Huber's book. I mean, he ends kind of midstream, you know, and if he wrote a second edition of that, the last chapter would be better. He's learned more about electronic, you know, money, and I think it would be better. And the same is true for their book. You know, they kind of sort of end with Bitcoin almost, and you know, they don't take a stand on it, but they're not really clear that this is a private, you know, sort of commodity basically, and it has very little, if anything, to do with money. I think it's a much needed book, and I would like to help them on a second edition. And you know, I intended to reply to your email, and you know, I didn't have the moments to craft the reply that I needed to, and you know, the time has gone by. And
did you find any good reviews of the book?
I don't even know if I looked for any, you know.
Okay. I can ask them if there's anything good out there.
And I should write one, you know, that's what I should
do. Sure. Hereby invited.
I'm going to leave. I've got to go eat some lunch.
Yeah, me too. I should really
eat. Lunch? Oh, it's 3 o'clock there, huh?
Yeah. But we started at 11, so I did have a big breakfast because I knew it would be a long wait. But yeah, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay.
I'll say goodbye too.
All right, we'll leave it at this then.
Is there a date? Just before you go, Hilbert, is there a date for Mark Tesh's coffee house?
Yes, July 29. That's on a Monday.
July 29. Okay.
Yeah. And so maybe we'll have another newsletter, but it depends a little bit if we have something of a report about this meeting. And, you know, when you know, there's no hurry with that because we're not on a set schedule with the newsletter.
There could be a report, and that could be brief. I think what goes to members might be a little bit longer, you know, that has minutes and the notes from the breakout groups, but...
Yeah. We should have something of an official member-only report.
Yeah.
But still something that can be shareable with, you know, the larger...
Yeah. So, I mean, feel free to write something letter if you want, but...
Sure.
Yeah,
but Govert, are you the point person for the coffee house with Mark Tesh?
Well, I'm hosting it. Hosting it.
Can you make sure to record it, because I'm in Salem at the end of the U.S. Green Party National.
Okay. Yeah, the recording will be done by either Mark. So I'm not, you know, technically hosting it. That will be Mark.
Should I send him an email just to make sure he?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Yeah.
Mark Young, you mean, right?
Yeah, Mark Young. Yeah.
Oh, not Mark Tesh.
Yeah. No.
Oh. Okay.
No, Mark Tesh is presenting.
And Hilbert, you're sort of introducing and
we'll record it.
Okay.
He might keep it short because he wants to do more question and answer. He likes question and answer more than just doing a presentation.
Is it basically going to be on his book or that's cool?
I don't know where his sources are. I'm sure he will refer to his book, and he's most welcome to do so, of course.
Yeah.
And I'll find out, you know, from him links where you can still buy it, or just chat to him and he'll send copies.
Yeah, I just wondered if he's presenting something new, because he's presented at AMI quite a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll ask him if it's because if it's something great and new, you know, I really would like to have an article then written by him or a blog that's narrated out, and not just, you know, bullet points or an outline. I don't think we should, you know, publish outlines of something because that can create misunderstandings. If it's too short, if it's too, you know, staccato. No, we'll see what happens with that presentation.
All right, I think I need to leave too. So, good luck to you with your writing. Yeah.
But it was a great meeting. Loved it.
Yes.
Good.
Excellent.
And very productive.
From you, Mr. Strategic Planning. I hear your voice in my ear when. So yeah.
Yes. No, I have to think that one through and get some thoughts out there. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
All right,
guys. Have a great one. Yeah. Oh, by the way, you know, so it was Bastille Day today. So that's also kind of nice. You know, start of the French Revolution. You know, we have to reinterpret that event then for ourselves.
But remember the British bankers counterfeited their sovereign money, the French revolutionaries. You gotta remind people.
Oh, wait, who? The British
The
made,
British bankers. They
yeah,
counterfeited
they French
the Assanauts.
Ah, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's always an interesting and they were good at that later too, or even before that with the American Revolution, and then
And then the people at the other side of the Civil War in the U.S. did the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, that's it, my friends. It was beautiful.